Radio. Radio.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
You know, I've never been to Australia, but I've been very immersed in the culture ever since a young lad. I had Vegemite when I was in fourth grade, and I had a pen pal in Sydney in sixth grade.
Well, I don't like that story, great-grandpa.
It's war, dude. You punch me in the face, I come after you. See how that works? You run your mouth about how you're this big, tough son of a bitch all day. Dude, you want war. You've got war.
And now.
No offense, guys, but what the hell happened to you?
Are you body shaming us?
No, I'm personality shaming you.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Tuesday morning, the 30th of April.
What's up, hoot owls?
Muskrats, hoot owls.
I like it. I like where we're going.
Yeah. I don't hate it.
You're just mixing it up.
Sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's all. I like hoot owls.
Sure.
Yeah, you do.
Not today, but one day I'll tell you the story about Donna's and my song.
I'm sorry?
You know, what? A lot of couples have a song.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. We have a song.
Uh-huh.
And it involves a hoot owl.
Sure.
Like most good ones do.
Right, exactly. Like all the best love songs.
Right. Though.
But one day we need to break down Donna's and my song.
Was this the song played at your wedding?
No.
Just a song you have together.
It's just our song, yeah. And I've talked about this before. You know, Don and I have a number of kidnap questions. Kevin knows this. Jensen, you may not. But we always keep up to date with our kidnap questions just in the event that one of us gets taken.
Yeah.
And we need to somehow prove to the other one that it's really us.
Give them a heads up if you're
undressed. Yeah, it'll be a question like only we would know. Like, what food did our pig ham sandwich not like as a baby but loved as an adult? You know, that's the type of question that the kidnappers can't.
Sure.
They can't fake that. They don't
what was
know.
It? Was it?
It's definitely bacon.
Well, how dare you? That's the meanest thing you've ever said.
Oh, no, but it's no one would suspect it, though.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You don't feed a... they're not cannibals. Anyway, my point is... I can't say it out loud, obviously, because then that lets the kidnappers know. Mm-hmm. But you guys have kidnap questions, right?
Yeah. Sure. No. Mm-hmm. No. I mean, not said out loud. We don't sit around and go over them and drill ourselves, but sure.
Oh, you should.
No is the answer.
Because
I don't have a kidnap.
In a panic situation, Jensen, you're going to think, oh, what was our kidnap question? Because you hadn't rehearsed it. You know what I mean?
No. I will say we do have the alarm question.
Mm-hmm.
Does that one?
What's your alarm code type of thing?
Well, they call you.
Yes.
Yeah, and then they're like, oh, can we have, what's the name of blank in order to make sure that this alarm is true? And we usually get it wrong, yeah.
All right.
You got to work on it.
Yeah, we have to, text the other person, is it?
When are you going to be out someplace and be taken, Bean? And why would you be taken?
Look, what are the chances your plane's going to go down, but you still pay attention when the flight attendant tells you how to get off the aircraft in the middle of water landing?
I don't pay attention to that.
It's good to have that information in the 1 in a billion chance that it happens. It's the same thing. Look, I absolutely do not expect to be kidnapped, okay? But if it happens, I feel like I will be better prepared than most people, at least to know legitimately that they have my wife or that the kidnappers have me.
Well, makes more sense they would take your wife.
Now, you have the same kidnap question. You're not changing it.
Oh, no, we have 25 kidnappers.
Okay, see, why? That's very confusing. You should have one.
Just to double check. Just to have a backup. You know what I mean?
Okay, I can see having two. So you say one, and the person gets it right. Then you're like, let me make doubly sure.
Exactly.
So you have another one.
That's
but
right.
That
By the
should
time
be
it's
your
10,
limit.
They're like, hey, get off the phone.
Right? We don't want her anymore. Just take her.
Hold on. I'm getting to the weather questions.
We didn't realize how annoying you two were. Forget the ransom. Just come pick her up. Anyway, that's a hoot owl. Just make a note. Hoot owl.
Hoot owl. Okay, I'm writing it down.
Here's a we have time for the thing, right?
Yep.
I just thought this is a very unusual and different sort of thing, but I wanted to give a shout out to Ruben Rueda, maybe it's Rueda, who has just passed away at the age of 67. He worked at Musso and Frank Grill in Hollywood since the time he was 15.
Wow. 50,
2 years, he worked at Musso and Frank's, mostly as a bartender, and I'll get into that in a moment. I feel like many people in Southern California, me included, have a Musso and Frank story because it's the oldest restaurant in Hollywood, and it's kind of a fancy place that you go at least once in your life.
Kind of a steak joint, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's a beautiful, like, old-school Hollywood place, you know, where they wear the velvet jackets and everything like that. Like, for instance, Donna and I went on our first-year wedding anniversary.
Is this one of your questions?
Nope.
What did we have the first time we went to Musso and Frank's?
Who's our bartender?
Did we eat a hootie owl?
And I don't remember it, of course, but Donna tells me that we saw Katie Sagal in the restaurant that night. She was eating there that night. Did you guys have any Musso and Frank stories? Have you been?
There was nothing that stood out about it like that, though.
I have.
How about you, Allie? Any special occasions at Musso and Frank's?
I have, and I remember Ruben, the bartender, because he was a staple there.
Of course you remember the bartender.
And he remembers everyone's drinks. If you had been in there maybe twice, he would remember it. That's amazing.
The most amazing part of this story. He had a remarkable ability to recall customers' drink orders. He once remembered the order of an Argentinian woman who had not stepped inside Musso's for nearly 3 decades.
Wow.
She shows up like 28 years later and he says, "The usual?"
What the hell?
I can't explain it. I don't think anyone could ever explain it. We'd have people who, for whatever reason, wouldn't come into the restaurant for 10 years. Then they would come back in and he would remember their drinks. He would admit he might not remember their name, but he would always remember their drinks.
Let's be honest. What's more important, name or drink?
Right?
Yeah.
In 2017, he was interviewed on the occasion of his 50th year of employment at Musso and Frank. He was asked how he did it, and he simply said, "You look in the eyes." He was from Durango, Mexico. He was walking past the restaurant one day in 1967, decided to go in and apply for a job. He was a busboy for a short time, then a server assistant, and then became a bartender, which was the job he held for the rest of his life. He served Orson Welles, Rock Hudson, Raymond Burr, Steve McQueen, Gore Vidal, Keith Richards, John Lennon. Johnny Depp was one of his regulars. But he never used to like to talk about it. He was a very modest man. He didn't go home and brag about who he'd served that day. He just kept it to himself. He said, the restaurant owner says, listing, and as good as he was with his killer martini, his signature drink, it was his listing and his talking that people fell in love with. Some people wanted to be listened to. Some people wanted to be entertained. He always knew without them saying. Very professional guy. 52 years working at Musso and Frank's has finally passed away. I mean, that is the kind, that's an irreplaceable employee right there.
I mean, we're 51 years here.
Yeah.
Sure.
I think you're 30.
What?
30.
Okay.
But I love stories about somebody who just becomes the fabric of the community in which they live. You know what
and
I mean?
And
is happy to be that. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I believe his son works there now.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, and he was a server for a bit and now does bookkeeping and whatnot. But
terrible
memory.
Terrible. Aww. Doesn't even remember where he works most of the time.
Has to write it down.
This year, Musso and Frank's is celebrating its 100th anniversary, by the way. So they're going to have a tribute down the road. But if you're a Musso and Frank's regular, or if you've only ever been in there a couple of times, you may remember Ruben, as Allie does. And I'm sorry to announce he has passed away, but it was a life well lived.
And that's our Ruben, right?
No, he's still alive.
Oh, this is a different person.
Okay. Our
Ruben is much older.
Ruben was his high school teacher, though.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin DeBeecho, shall we?
Do you understand that most of the country thinks that you're one of the stupidest people around right now?
I mean, sure. Comedian Brad Williams will be on the show.
He's a pal.
Yes. Love it every time he stops by. Scott Aukerman is going to join us.
Yeah, I love Scott.
He chillingly just put out a 10-hour podcast.
Yep. His 10th anniversary, and he thought, what should I do? Oh, I'm going to do a 10-hour broadcast.
Yeah.
I love it.
For his podcast.
I love that people didn't know it was coming, so they just looked in their podcast, and it said 600 minutes. Yeah. So I'm like, Scott, what's happening?
Hey, by the way, not to take anything away from Scott's remarkable achievement, but Jimmy Pardo has his annual Podcastathon happening this Saturday, which is 12 hours.
Suck it,
he's
Aukerman.
Doing 12 hours live.
I mean, maybe don't so tell Scott that.
It has become...
No, let's bring it up
friends.
Right away.
No, don't.
They're very good friends. I'm sure he knows.
I mean, and Pardo does it for charity. What's Scott doing it for? Right?
All right. Let's make a note of that.
All right. Take a note. Hold on. Let me take a note.
Bean and hot girls, should those two be allowed in any conversation?
The point isn't that they were hot. That's not what this is
about.
Well,
we disagree on that.
Mm-hmm. This is just me talking to people. Should I be allowed to talk to humans?
No. The answer is no. Cheers with beer mug on the show today. And spoilers. We're going to talk about spoilers. What is acceptable? How long should you wait? Is it on the person that's viewing it? Is it on the person who's writing it? How does that work?
Protocol.
Protocol, exactly. Mm-hmm. Especially with, you know, Game of Thrones happening, with Avengers happening and all that. When is it okay to openly talk about stuff? Mm-hmm. We got to have some ground rules.
Yeah, we're going to set them for you.
Right. All right. So that's coming up this morning. We'll take a break. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. That is Smith and Tell. The song is Forgive Me, Friend. And they are one of the bands playing on the K-Rock Weenie Roast and Luau.
Sweden generates so much great music for such a small country. What's that about? Do you think it's because it's cold and snowy all the time, so you're just inside and
everyone's
have
miserable.
Plenty of time to work on music?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that means I'd nap more, not make more music.
That's what I think, too.
I love that song, by the way. Again, Smith and Tell is the name of the band, and you can see them at the K-Rock Weenie Roast. Pre-sale Thursday morning, 10 a.m., on sale to the public Friday at 10 a.m. But the public are losers, you guys. You want to be in the cool kids on the pre-sale.
I hope someone just woke up.
You want to be on the pre-sale. You want to be a K-Rock Street Team member, get the password, buy them early. That's what I'm saying.
You have 24 hours, so.
Exactly,
advance.
Yes. All right, Allie is here with our first look at what's happening here on a Tuesday. Good morning.
Good morning. Very sad news yesterday. John Singleton, the Oscar-nominated writer and director of Boys in the Hood, was taken off life support yesterday, 13 days after a major stroke. He was only 51 years old. In addition to Boys in the Hood, Singleton's work spanned generations and genres, including a remake of Shaft, historical films such as Rosewood, action films like Too Fast, Too Furious, films that question the meaning of American masculinity like Baby Boy, Four Brothers. He also worked with TV and streaming platforms as a director on hits like Billions, The People vs. O.J. Simpson, Empire. I mean, the guy did it all, and he's often celebrated for having the foresight to bring mega talents like Tupac, Regina King, Cuba Gooding Jr., Terrence Howard, Ice Cube, Tyrese, Taraji P. Henson, and others to the attention of the wider public. And Boys in the Hood, just to talk about that movie for a second, remains one of the definitive movies of a generation. It also led to his Oscar nominations for Best Director and Best Original Screenplay at the age of 24. He was the youngest filmmaker and the first African-American to earn a nomination in those categories. By the way, that film currently housed in the Library of Congress.
Is that right?
At the age of 24, you guys.
He rules. Deservedly so.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, that was a real sad one, especially coming on the heels of, the Luke Perry, which is another stroke and then death. It's just, it's so scary, and they're both so young.
Yeah. So young, and his family put out a really lovely statement, but the spokesperson noted that he struggled with hypertension, and he said more than 40% of African-American men and women have high blood pressure, which also develops earlier in life and is usually more severe. And his family wanted to share the message with everyone to please recognize the symptoms by going to heart.org.
I have a couple things I Google when I get very stressed. Mm-hmm. Like I have a handful of 20 different...
20?
Yeah, but they're very specific and obscure. Uh-huh. And one of them has always been Boys to Men behind the scenes photos. They're so great. Yeah. I posted four of them last night that I have in my computer, but they're just such a time capsule.
For sure.
And also people who don't realize the hip hop or African-American voice of the 90s wasn't really being portrayed in movies or television. Oh, so this is...
Jensen, did you mean Boys in the Hood?
What did I say?
Not Boys to Men.
Oh, you said Boys to Men. I thought that was a weird choice to post pictures of Boys to Men.
Boys in the Hood. Okay. Can that be a moment with?
Yeah.
Okay, thanks. But Boys in the Hood, yes. And there's great pictures of Ice Cube and John Singleton behind the scenes, and Cuba Gooding, who's a child in it. And so I posted a bunch last night, and they're really good.
He was a trailblazer, to say the least. The man just unbelievable.
And also, Boys to Men's great.
They are great.
And nobody had a bad word to say about him in his whole career either, by the way. He was just one of those people who really uplifted everybody around him.
Yeah. He was a big sailor, too, which I always thought was so great. What he would do when he wanted to just relax, he had a sailboat, and he would go out on the ocean. He posted tons of pictures with him just at the helm of his sailboat.
Where was he on Boys to Men pictures?
I bet he liked that.
He was on bended knee.
Oh, well done, Jensen.
I'm filing everything today.
Might as well. Hey, remember last hour yesterday when I had said, hey, that Woodstock 50 ticket's supposed to go on sale on April 22nd on Earth Day. Then they didn't. People were like, wait, is it going to be canceled? And the promoters were like, no, no, everything's fine. And then other people said, well, no, it's not fine. You haven't paid the headliners and there's really no permits. And then I told you yesterday that it was canceled.
Right.
Well, now different organizers say, no, it's still on.
What?
Woodstock 50 vehemently denies the festival's cancellation and legal remedy will be sought, they said.
What? Leah Remini will be sought?
Leah Remini. Yeah, they're blaming Scientologists for this whole thing. No. They said legal remedy will be sought. Rumors about the fate of the concert, organized in part by Woodstock founder Michael Lang, began having problems when people were saying, hey, we don't have permits for the place we're going to hold it.
That seems like step one, no?
Yeah, the festival's main investment arm is the one that made the announcement yesterday that it wouldn't proceed. But organizers are like, yeah, it will.
Canceled.
Just wait.
When is it supposed to have occurred? Is it this year?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay. Yeah, it's this summer.
Probably August, if they're going for the 50th anniversary.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's August 16th through the 18th.
But it was supposed to go on sale the 22nd. They haven't sold a ticket
But yet. How do you get that? I mean, there were so many names listed when the announcement came.
Like,
so
how do you even get to them?
Yeah.
It's a good question.
You just can't tell them to, hey, keep that open in case we're able to get our S together.
Yeah. Well, when they say that it was slow to pay its superstar headliners, I'm thinking if I haven't been paid yet and I don't know what's happening, I might be making alternate plans.
Yeah.
We have to figure out what's going on.
That's a great point. You guys, Spotify announced yesterday that it has surpassed the 100 million user mark for its premium subscription service. That makes it the first digital music service to reach that milestone. Just in contrast, Apple Music, 50 million subscribers worldwide. Spotify, 100 million.
Wow.
If you count their free subscribers, Spotify has about 217 million worldwide. So they're doing
okay.
They're
in the lead, yeah.
Yeah.
Bean, who's the best?
Losing money.
Bean, who's the best?
Which service you mean?
Yeah. I feel like he's the quintessential
expert. I feel like Spotify is a little more intuitive, a little easier to use, to tell you the truth. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you that you can set up the next song to play in Spotify, and you can't do that in Apple Music unless you create a playlist. So that's kind of a bummer step for me. So I think I'd give Spotify the nod.
Yeah. I'm going with Tidal. Really love that service.
I subscribed to all three of them.
The thing about Spotify is, you know, they'll tell you what you might like, and Apple Music does it, but they're never right. Apple Music, whenever they're like, we picked these for you, I'm like, no, you didn't. I don't know who's behind that algorithm, but they need to be fired.
Come on, give Billy Ray Cyrus a try.
Just saying.
That is how I discovered Motown Philly by Boys in the Hood, though.
Oh, quite the change.
This is one sweet day with you and all your puns.
Wow, Bean.
Wow. I couldn't hate you both more.
Some birthdays for you guys. Johnny Galecki. Kirsten Dunst. Why?
Both of them. They're twins.
Whichever.
Kirsten. Gal Gadot. Kunal Nayar. And Travis Scott. It's going to be a day of names.
Beer Mug has joined us. Good morning, Mugs.
Good morning.
Part not on the air.
What's that?
Was my part not on the air?
Correct.
Okay, all right, then I'll forget it. Well, I was saying a thing, but then you started with Beer Mug, and then I didn't know if I was hurt. Okay.
You weren't, and that was my fault.
Take two, we're not on the air yet.
Okay. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 6:23.
Hey, Beer Mug.
Good morning.
In case people are wondering how Beer Mug's employment is going here at K-Rock, he overslept by 3 hours yesterday.
Well, technically, I overslept by 2, but when I'm leaving from where I'm leaving from, it takes about an hour and a half.
I don't know that you want to add technically to this.
You were supposed to get up at 4:30. You woke up at 7:30 to get here.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Then, yeah, you're right.
That's
I'm sorry.
3 hours.
You're right. I'm sorry. I stand corrected.
Yeah, he still continues to work here.
Look,
it's not my decision that he's still working here. Whose decision is it?
He's a perfectionist, Bean. If he's going to sleep in, he wants to go all the way, right?
He wants to nail it.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, the only acceptable excuse is you were out late recording another Cheers with Beer Mug the night before. Is that what happened?
Sure.
All right, where do you go, Muggs, when you record these?
I go to O'Grady's in Granada Hills, California, the diviest of dive bars. And everybody, mm-hmm. It's funny, everybody at Foolishness is like, I got to go to O'Grady's. Where is this? I was like, do you really? Do you really want to go? Like, really?
Not positive that's the place?
So I went there last week, and I was going to continue the discussion you guys had on air about who pays after the first date. So I know drunk people will have an opinion on this.
Beer Mug, he wants to go where everybody knows his name.
Yeah.
Asking questions with no shame.
What do you?
He's already drunk as a skunk, but people are glad he came.
Oh!
Beer Mug wants to go where everyone knows his name.
Wow. I mean, that's the kind of quality work. That's right. Why he stays, Bean.
That's right.
For God's sake. So he goes to O'Grady's, and he wants to make sure that the equipment is working well. So he does a very unique mic check.
Check, check. Level check. Check. Spear Mug check.
What is the custom?
Yeah, and by the way, that's as lucid as you're going to hear him be. He does the mic check, and then the first question.
I can't imagine blowing into the mic is good for the check.
Probably not. No. What is the custom after the first date? Who picks up the bill, the guy or the girl?
All right, I'd just like to say that wasn't the question. After the first date, who pays? The question was,
who pays on the first date?
Yes, that was the question. But a few drinks in,
Muggs
doesn't know.
I think the guy picks up the first, picks up the check no matter what. Otherwise, I feel like I wouldn't go on a second date with him.
I think people should take turns. I think if one person's paying the bill, one person should offer to do the tip. I really think it's a joint effort.
That was very, very with the times sort of answer.
You got to be with the times. We're in the times.
I'll take a shot to that.
Let's have one.
Whoever asked for the date. Like, yeah, you're inviting somebody.
Good old boy, drink a whiskey and rye. This will be the day that I die.
Sing it, buddy.
This will be the day that I die.
Ow! Monty was back.
Yeah.
Wow.
But screaming, this will be the day that I die, yeah, is probably not looking
not
up
ideal.
For money. Yeah.
If it's a first date, I would say the guy.
And what about continual dates after that?
I would pick up a tab here and there, full tab. But after a first date, I would usually do a bar and at least get drinks on me.
That's a good little package deal right there. I like that.
Alcohol over food.
If you're invited to go out and eat, the person who did the invitation should pay for the ticket. But I think that it shows good manners to offer to pay for the tip. And that can be either way. If the woman offers to take to lunch, then she pays, and the guy can offer to do the tip.
How did you not at least come up with the punchline, just the tip? You're talking to her about this for 5 minutes.
Because drunk, Kevin.
Okay, that's a good answer.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that was a spicy one. Oh. Monty. Oh,
Monty.
I can't tell you. I've told you this probably in the past before, that I hadn't seen you in a while, but this time I thought you hated me.
No, man. Never, man. Are you serious, man?
I love you, Monty.
Beer Mug, I love you, man.
All right, so today's question, Monty, is...
if I can think of it.
No. Who picks up the tab after a first date? Or after a meal? Specifically a first date.
These questions are just getting so much worse.
Worse and worse.
He's figuring it out word by word as he goes.
Yeah, it's like he's never heard the question before. This is what a complicated push and pull relationship Beer Mug has with Monty. Too.
Agreed.
They're circling each other. I can't tell whether it's love or hate. Oh, it's a murder-suicide waiting to happen.
Oh, it's love.
Of course, in my case, with a girl, right? Well, of course, I do.
Or a guy, whatever your preference is, Monty. But no,
right. With all respect to everybody, of course.
But I hear you have a hot girlfriend.
Absolutely. Oh yeah, baby.
Hey, Muggs, could you move closer to the music so that we can't hear you at all?
It was karaoke night. They blast that.
By the way, woke money.
Woke money.
Yeah,
that was very well.
Good point.
So, what's your policy on that whole picking up the bill thing? Picking up the bill. I do it sly, smooth, and nobody knows, and it's done.
Every time, baby?
It has to be that way, right?
Every time, baby? Who says that? Who says baby? Every time, baby?
Yeah, every time, baby.
You are Casanova Monty, and every guy should follow your rule book.
Now, if the lady wants to buy me a drink, now that's a different story, man.
Dilly dilly!
Yeah, man.
You are delicious, man, Monty.
I love you, man.
All right.
You're a delicious man.
Just so you guys know, I left tickets for Monty to come to April Fool's.
Oh, did you?
And
oh, how'd he do?
Didn't even show up.
Really?
Didn't show up.
What a surprise.
Yep.
Well done, Mugs.
Thank you.
He's already drunk as a skunk, but people are glad he came. Beer Mug wants to go where everyone knows his name.
How 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:53.
Scott Aukerman from Comedy Bang Bang and Brad Williams both on the program today. By the way, Bob Saget on the program tomorrow. If I'm remembering correctly, our great friend Jimmy Pardo on Thursday. Eddie Izzard on Friday.
Wow.
See, we don't do comedy, but we bring you comedy.
Mm-hmm.
That's the best way to do it for foolishness.
Yeah, when you're not funny, you surround yourself with funny people.
Hey,
yeah.
Someone else get out there and be funny.
Yeah.
Exactly. Then we just introduce them.
And don't forget, if you miss any of the great guests, we do have a Kevin and Bean podcast. It's available on radio.com or iTunes or wherever you get yours, because a lot of stuff happens maybe when you're at work or at school.
The Allie stuff that you don't hear is the best, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
If you
sure
don't
is.
Hear something, mm-hmm. it's great.
Yeah, the stuff you hear, mediocre.
Right.
The best. Stuff you don't hear.
Judge the program
right.
on what you're hearing.
Right, exactly.
Is
chef
motto,
kiss
right.
on everything mwah, that you don't hear.
Allie is here. Time for another look at what's happening here on a Tuesday morning.
Well, a con artist posing as Jason Statham cheated a starstruck British woman out of hundreds of thousands of dollars. The unidentified victim says she thought that the star had contacted her directly while she was on a Facebook fan page. She thought, oh, that's nice of him talking to his fans. She then was persuaded into downloading WhatsApp, and they started chatting on there. And he said he was falling in love with her. Of course, the real-life actor is with supermodel Rosie Huntington-Whitley. He then came up with a sob story about financial difficulties because of a delayed film payment, even though he's estimated at about $70 million. Mm. She handed over hundreds of thousands of dollars, though she wouldn't say exactly how much.
Wow, you are an enormous loser.
The BBC has some of the texts. Here are the texts from him. Will you love me and be the special woman beside me for the rest of your life, honey? I really need you to do this for me, honey, because I can't trust anyone with my money, honey. Western Union, you'll get the official website when you set up an account, darling. Just send $20,000 this night, and tomorrow you do the same.
Wow.
Then by Friday, it's already done. Baby, where are you? I miss you. Talk to me, baby. Baby, where are you? Well, she's at the bank. She's at the bank depositing money, fake Jason Statham.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, she claims she was targeted during a very vulnerable time following the deaths of her mother and fiancé.
Ouch.
I mean, why is everyone dying right? from this lady? I think maybe we look into that, right? Who's watching?
She's like, it stopped me from murdering all of my family.
That's real sad, though.
Yeah, that is sad.
I guess, but I mean, who do you really think that they reached out to you on a Facebook fan page?
People are very delusional.
Especially when they're going through, if that what you're saying is true about family life, when they're going through stuff.
Yeah, but if you're listening right now, a celebrity is not contacting you.
And asking for money.
And asking for money. They just aren't. I mean, some might be sending you DMs to bone. Absolutely.
And those are probably even fake.
Chances are. But those are more real than just asking.
What if the celebrity is Screech?
Mm-hmm. Oh, well then.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Could he be looking for money?
Possibly.
Yes.
Yeah, I didn't take into account Screech.
The Screech factor,
yeah. Good point.
But then you've run into him on the street with the sign and the whole thing.
It's true. You guys, Game of Thrones has broken yet another record. On Sunday, their third episode of season 8 officially became the most tweeted about television episode of all time.
That's a good little package deal right there. I like that.
Thank you. How many unique tweets do you think were sent on Sunday about Game of Thrones? That means these weren't retweeted, these weren't quote tweeted.
Okay.
These were different tweets.
Six.
I was going to go 11.
Yeah, a little more.
Okay.
Bean?
I will say Game of Thrones, most popular TV show in the world, unique tweets, one night, Sunday only, I will say 75,000.
Oh, no.
Am I way off?
7.8 million.
Wow, we're all way off.
Unique tweets.
That's crazy.
You were all very, very much off. Mm-hmm. The most tweeted characters on Sunday were Arya Stark, the Night King, Bran Stark, Jon Snow, and Cersei?
Arya.
Did I say Arya again?
Sure.
Oh, stand down, Game of Thrones people. Arya. Yeah. I've got to think of the hotel in Vegas. Arya.
Okay.
Arya.
Right.
Anyway, the last chick didn't even appear in the show, and she was still tweeted about a ton. You guys, that's an insane number. 7.8 million unique tweets.
Every time, baby.
Wow. How did you pull that so quick? We don't need it.
Every time, baby.
Every time, baby. What is that? Why would
I
he
don't
say
know.
It? I don't like it, you guys.
I love it.
Were you worried yesterday when you heard about Larry King?
I was.
Didn't hear anything about
Larry
King. I was
very worried about
him.
Yeah. Well, he may not live long enough to get married again.
Well, don't worry. He is in good spirits despite conflicting reports about his health. According to his rep, he did not have a heart attack and he did not go into cardiac arrest. His publicist said that the 85-year-old television host only suffered angina.
Tonight, Snoop Dogg gets real and keeps it crack-a-lackin'.
Yeah, he does.
It sounds to me like he was very lucky to have a doctor's appointment with his heart doctor scheduled on the same day that he had an event.
Yes, he had a pre-scheduled angioplasty procedure, and he arrived at the hospital early to get checked because he was experiencing chest pains. So his doctor successfully performed the angioplasty and inserted stents to reopen the previous bypass from 1987. He's recuperating in the hospital, scheduled to be released soon, and is expected to make a full recovery.
I know that I have a sense of pace. I have good broadcast instincts. Mm-hmm. I know how to move something along.
Right.
I ask short questions.
Right.
I leave my ego at the door.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a regular guy.
Okay.
I don't have pretensions at intellectuality. People don't look at me as some college professor. I'm not National Public Radio.
Same.
I'm not dull.
Okay.
I have a memorable, if not outstanding, voice.
You have a lot to say about your
lib.
Okay.
I'm funny.
Okay.
But mostly, I'm curious.
Okay.
Sir, this is an Arby's. It's just real weird.
That was very, very with the times sort of answer.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right, some birthdays for you guys. Travis Scott. Gal Gadot, Kunal Nayar, Johnny Galecki.
Which one is Kunal Nayar? He is on The Big Bang Theory?
The Big Bang Theory, yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Johnny Galecki and Kirsten.
And Johnny Galecki is on
Big Bang Theory.
Also. Big Bang Theory. Mm-hmm. That's what I thought. They're both their birthdays today on the same show.
Isn't that crazy? Do you think they have a cake and balloons?
I think they do. May I interest you in a day at the beach in early June? Talking June 8th at Doheny State Beach in Dana Point, we have the K-Rock Weenie Roast and Luau 2019 just announced yesterday. If you missed it, the Lumineers are at the top of the bill, along with our old friends in 311. Silver Sun Pickups, who are stopping by later this week to perform live on the show, Kevin.
Excited about that Thursday, I think.
Love them. The Revivalists, Catfish and the Bottlemen, Ex-Ambassadors, who are always great, Flora Cash, Smith and Tell, and The Regrets. You can buy your tickets Thursday at 10 a.m. if you're a K-Rock Street Team member. On sale to the public is Friday at 10 a.m. And proceeds, once again, benefiting great local charities. That's one of the cool things about the major events that we do, the tentpole events throughout the year at K-Rock, is we raise a lot of money for charity.
Just like
our April Foolishness over the weekend. Proceeds for this event, the Weenie Roast and Luau, benefit the Doheny State Beach Interpretive Association, Heal the Bay, and Surfrider Foundation. Go to krock.com for all the details.
All right, Bean, you were telling us a story about an interaction that you had with two girls. Let's get to it.
Deep sigh.
I was trying to tell you the story, but then you were all yelling at me as if somehow I were the Louisiana Creeper, all which right. I am not.
All right, we're going to try and let you get through it, and we're going to judge it again with fresh eyes.
Okay.
And if you could talk directly into my collar, it's where the microphone is.
I actually have a microphone just to have to surreptitiously record it.
Okay.
When I was in Los Angeles last week for my tattoo and the April Fool's show, I had occasion to sample some of the great cuisine in Southern California. I know a lot of people, they make fun of the restaurants in L.A. compared to cities like New York. But I am telling you that I went to a sandwich place. It doesn't sound fancy, but it was amazing. It's called Subway. Now, Subway is on Wilshire Boulevard.
Oh,
and is it tough to get a reservation there? Or
No. You could just walk in.
What?
I was stunned. I thought, how can this place be this good, yet you don't have to call in advance? Mm-hmm. It was near the hotel where I was staying, and I walked into the Subway, and as I was waiting in line, there were two, I'll say it, attractive young ladies who came in after me who were in line right behind me. They were in their 20s, and they were, did I mention they were attractive?
Yeah.
Wow. And they were obviously foreign.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
They were speaking to each other in a language that was not English.
Yes.
Okay. That was a clue to me that they were foreign.
Bang, bang,
okay?
Bang, bang.
So far, you're on track.
Okay. So they were speaking. Now, I stood there, and I just want you to know, Kevin, you were making fun of me for Are You Negro of the Galaxy, the outburst I made at the April Fool's show when I was referring to a listener's Twitter handle, and I just blurted it out without considering the wider context of how it could be misinterpreted. This was not one of those cases.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I checked myself before I wrecked myself, and I thought, I wonder what language they're speaking. I am interested in finding out what that language is, but if I ask them, am I now creepy, invading in their space because they are attractive young women who are tourists in our country?
Giddy up.
Which, by the way, I think I deserve some credit for thinking it through that.
Yeah, by the way, yes.
Because old days... Pre-tattoo Bean would have just been all over them.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
But I stopped and I thought, I wonder what language they're speaking, but should I ask them? And I considered it and then I thought, you know what? I'm not doing anything creepy. I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm genuinely curious what language they're speaking. I am going to ask them. So I said, excuse me, is that a Scandinavian language? And they said, no, it's German. I said, oh, okay, thank you. And that was it. Mm-hmm. Now, Allie, you made it sound like you thought I would come across as in a van.
No, here's the thing. You're completely changing this. Because when you initially told us the story, you said, these two women, I could tell they were from a different country. And I thought, I don't want to be creepy if I ask them. To which I said, Bean, were they hot? And you said, well, yeah, but that's...
You lying? Why you always lying? Oh my God! Stop fucking lying!
Well, what am I changing? I said they were hot too.
Exactly. So now you're changing the whole thing. So that was your thought. Like, I don't want to creep them out. And my point was, when you didn't say they were hot or not, I said, were they hot? Your response was yes. And I said, the only reason that you tuned in to two women speaking a different language, if they weren't hot, you would have paid them no mind.
That's absurd.
Good night, sir. I rest
That's
my
absurd.
Case.
No, because the point was not I wasn't talking about or even thinking about their looks and their incredible attractiveness.
But you just said in this version of the story, I don't want two women to think I'm hitting on them if I ask them this question.
I would feel like if I, as an older guy, mm-hmm. albeit handsome and youthful looking, as an older guy, if I were to start speaking to any two women,
yes.
they would think I was coming on to them. And nothing could have been further from the truth.
Not the uglies. Yeah,
even the uglies.
No.
The heinous is no.
Yeah, you would pay the uglies no mind.
Just checking what time it is or where the closest gas station is. They know those are real questions.
Exactly.
my point.
No, but I disagree completely. I absolutely would have had the same thought process, and I would have asked the exact same question had they been the Hainises. I really would have.
Yeah. I have a question.
I was only genuinely interested in the language they were speaking.
Isn't German relatively easy to pick out?
Yes, it's guttural. It's and he's saying, and he's saying it was beautiful Scandinavian language. No, you weren't even listening to what they were saying. You were just,
of course I
you
was.
You were looking at two hot chicks. You knew it was a different language, and you're like, here's my in. Is that Scandinavian?
I was wondering if the one who was 5'10 or the one who was 5'11 was going to answer back. That's what I was wondering.
I mean,
No, it wasn't like that at all. I mean, it was the opposite of that, Kevin. What I'm saying to you is I was going out of my way to not be creepy. And here Allie is figuring out a way to still make me look like the bad man.
I'm not sure it's Allie's fault.
No, thank you, Mr. Pecker. Jensen, what about you? What's your thought on this? Help me out here. You've usually got my back.
Yes, I think that you, in the end, by you being like, thank you, and slowly backing away after they've answered it, probably made them more comfortable. But I think the fact that you weren't wearing pants in a subway is also problematic.
That is odd. Yeah.
No, I think it's creepy in a sense that I don't think you would have asked if they were Hainises.
Thank you.
Of course I would.
I know.
That is my whole point.
But I do think you did all of the correct things when asking. You asked a question, you were just, you know, then you sort of backed it off.
Which is growth.
It is for him, yes.
But, right? Guys, none of us want to be at the point where you can't ask a stranger in a public place an innocent question.
No, you did that right.
Without double checking.
You did that right. I'm just saying that if they were ugly, you wouldn't have had that question.
Because he wouldn't even have been thinking, I'm being creepy, because why would I hit on these women? They're ugly.
And he would have been like, why am I even here? This subway is for uglies.
Exactly. Right? He's like, that sandwich artist isn't even good.
Yeah.
Oh, is there an attractive subway? I will go. Hey, sexy, what language are you speaking there?
Yeah, I'm sure that's how it went.
Pretty good.
Here's the thing that I wanted to mention but didn't have time.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's a super weird thing about Bean that when people don't know him and he hasn't spoken to them, when we would get in an elevator, if there are women in an elevator, I could sense that they hated him.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God.
Without speaking.
Oh, no.
And I was like, wow, he didn't even say a word.
Just tense right up?
Just puts the vibe out there, I think.
Allie, did you hate me the first time you met me?
I did not.
Okay.
It wasn't in an elevator, to be fair.
But you were also familiar with me from the radio, too.
Sure,
Kevin's,
sure.
I think, talking about strangers.
Yeah, which is even worse.
All right. We're off on a bad tangent here. Let's talk about, Allie, tell me about LaShawn McCoy. Apparently he stepped in it this week, right?
He did. He wound up tweeting on Friday, which
he's a Buffalo Bill, right?
Yeah, he's a Buffalo Bill player. He goes by Shady McCoy, and he did the shadiest thing when on Friday he decided to tweet major spoilers for Avengers Endgame, which for a lot of people, that was the day it came out. They had not yet seen it.
Right.
And when I say major spoilers, a major spoiler. And then he didn't even stop there. He was like, well, let me explain this further in a video. So major spoiler, and then attached a video explaining why he thought that it shouldn't have happened this way.
Should have been different, and here's how.
People were irate.
And this was when 99% of the people hadn't had the chance to see it.
Right.
Okay.
So that seems bad.
Yes.
People should have been irate.
Absolutely.
But then,
good move.
But now we get into the point where seems like everyone's seen it. I know that's not true, but it seems like it.
Mm-hmm.
We're not talking about today. Spoilers, right?
And we shouldn't be talking
about
it.
Right, I agree. But how long?
We shouldn't be given spoilers.
How long?
Look, this is a movie that is going to be in the theaters, and people will be seeing it for months, okay?
Right.
Now, I think there is a point somewhere between the afternoon it's released and 6 months from now where it should be safe to talk about it.
Yes.
The hard question for people is, it's not going to be the same for everybody. Like, when are you a dick for starting to talk about it?
Well, I think especially when we do it on the radio, we say spoiler alert.
Right.
If you don't want to know about this, we are going to talk about spoilers when we talk about stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you should probably do that on all of your social media as well. Like, if he had said major spoilers, a lot of people wouldn't have read the rest of it.
Yeah, but like at this point, The Crying Game, it's a dude.
What?
You know what I mean?
Jensen.
I'm just
saying. Thanks, Jensen. I was going to see that this weekend.
Like, at what time do you just say you've seen it? Like, to me, television deserves a full week.
No.
It does. Okay, so Game of Thrones.
I think for the Sunday next night. The next episode should have to air for you to talk about the last one.
Absolutely incorrect.
I don't hate that.
No, if you're on Twitter, which is a site where people discuss things in real time.
Oh, I'm talking about in person. I'm saying like we're all hanging out and talking.
Oh, well, that's totally different.
On Twitter, you can't control it. Stay off Twitter.
Absolutely my point with spoilers, and that's what a lot of people are so irate about. If you are watching something like a Game of Thrones, it airs on Sunday, and you are not watching the East Coast version, why are you on Twitter? You deserve everything you get.
Wrong.
And I can answer that question.
Wrong.
I can answer that question. You're on Twitter because you think that people shouldn't be dicks and post things before a lot of people have had the opportunity to see it, with the exception of live events.
Yeah, but it's the same website.
I think we all agree that live events are different.
Right, agreed.
This is also Twitter where, like, you know, Nazis roam free. This is the Wild West.
And I think on Twitter, it's happening in real time, whether you're the East Coast feed or the West Coast feed. If you do not want to see it, stay off Twitter. At the very least, mute words, mute, you know, Game of Thrones, mute the main characters' names so you don't see it in your feed. But honestly, if you do not have the willpower to stay off social media, it's on you.
I disagree.
I disagree. Me too. And I think that you're a dick if you go on Twitter and post a major plot point of a TV show.
No one's arguing with that. Because they're a dick. But there are dicks, and they're going to do that.
Yeah.
And Ellie's saying is just don't go where people are going to do that.
But what I'm talking about is companies like The Ringer and Barstool Sports, who are posting major plot points, video of them, before the West Coast feeds even air. Like, what is the point
because
of
they're
that?
Because they're live tweeting.
Yeah.
But they shouldn't. Like, you could talk around it and talk about the episode without giving. You don't have to be that jerk. And just because, like, you want to get the story out first and be the first one to comment on something, wrong.
That's their job, though. That is their job, and their engagement is what they're making money off of.
I'm nothing without my following.
But couldn't their engagement be a link in a tweet or in a post on Instagram, a link that would then go to details for
that
those who chose to go into it? Why does it have to be given up? Why do you have to see it as you scroll?
Have to see it. Stay off the internet.
I think what Allie is factoring in, and I believe this as well, is that most people are fine and they're good people and they're not going to tweet about it. Other people, a smaller group, are a-holes, and they are no matter what anyone says. So then I agree with Allie. At that point, if they're going to do that, then it's not that hard to stay
Devil's advocate.
All right.
And for real, this is how I feel. If I'm watching the finale of Sopranos back in the day, or Barry this last week, which was crazy and insane, if you hashtag Barry or whatever it is, I want to talk about it in real time when I'm seeing it. That's part of Twitter's appeal.
Absolutely.
Which is technically a spoiler.
Absolutely.
So I disagree with what Dave and Kevin are saying. Like, I should be able to freely tweet about it.
It is real-time engagement that is happening. That is the point of this website.
But other websites, I agree with you about, like, posting it on CNN. It should say spoiler alert, all those things. But the site that promises you real-time reaction is going to give you real-time reaction.
100%.
So that's why it's sort of on me to avoid spoilers.
Or stay away from that one site.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yes, but for instance, many people, I should say, don't watch a show live, though.
Right.
Especially nighttime shows. A lot of people watch them the next day.
Right.
Right?
You know what, go ahead.
Killing Eve, for instance, is a perfect example. I think that's a show you and I usually watch on Mondays,
absolutely. You know what I do?
I don't want to know what happens on Sunday night.
And neither do I. So I mute Killing Eve. I mute Killing. I mute Eve. I mute Villanelle. Every single Sunday afternoon,
I mute those words.
Yeah, really. I'm not getting any of her tweets. But if I really didn't want something spoiled, I wouldn't go online.
All right, let's take your phone calls. 1-800-520-1067. There's two kinds of spoilers, and there are other sites as well, as far as Instagram and other Facebook.
Yeah.
What should the rules be on a TV show, like Game of Thrones Sunday? What should the rules be with a movie?
Which Dave, you have a policy.
I have a policy. 3 days for a TV show, 1 week for a movie. There's a reason why I went at 10:45 on a Thursday before everyone saw it.
But 1 week in a movie doesn't... Are you allowing the full second weekend for someone to see it?
I would think if you're going a week, you would.
Well, 7 days from the release date.
Okay, fine. Yeah. I'm done. Yeah, I get it.
All right, so 1-800-520-1067. What kind of rules should we have about spoilers? And
how do you avoid it?
Don't be a
Stop
guess.
Reporting me, bro.
Right?
That's the point. Here's the thing. People that say, I don't want to go online and be spoiled, you're saying that my timeline is more important than your timeline. Sure, you watched it, but I'm super busy and I'm too cool and I can't watch it in the same amount of time. I'm more important. No, you're not. Stay off Twitter. It's so simple to stay off Twitter.
It is a real-time website.
Absolutely. Which discusses things in real time. What happened?
Yeah, and if you don't want to see some weird forward about Republicans, don't go on Facebook.
Exactly.
That's what they're there for.
All right, 1-800-520-1067. We'll take a quick break. We'll come right back. All right, just out of the bravery, let's take one phone call. Let's make it Anna in Fountain Valley. Good morning, Anna. We're talking about spoilers. How long do you have to wait?
Hi. So I think for TV shows, you should at least wait 24 hours, especially a show like Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm.
And
does it matter to you?
I watch it on HBO streaming, so I don't even get it until about 11 o'clock our time.
Does it matter to you if it's Facebook or Instagram or Twitter? Like, are they different in any way, or everybody should just give it a day?
I agree with Ali. I think Twitter is more like live, but I think what you were saying, the link would definitely be
sure
better than just posting it right on your tweet.
Okay, so what is your theory on movies?
I think at least like 2 weeks, because I still haven't seen Avengers, and dodging spoilers is
Can I tell you? Oh, just kidding.
Do not.
She steps on Ant-Man. It's so sad. All right, so 2 weeks.
So
2 weeks for movies.
To say that.
2 weeks for movies. By the way, I forgive. Please forgive me if somebody did step on Ant-Man. That was totally a joke. I don't know if that happened.
He hasn't seen it.
All right, so 2 weeks for movies and 24 hours for TV shows. That's what Anna says. Thank you for the call. We appreciate you listening. 1-800-520-1067. What are your spoiler alert policies? And should you be allowed to beat somebody up who spoils it for you? I think that's part two of the question we should be asking. Your call's next on the Kevin Beach Show. Dunk.
Spoil
the end game.
Don't do it.
Don't spoil
the end game.
I'm watching you.
Don't spoil the end game.
I'm watching you.
Seriously. Don't spoil the end game.
I mean,
it's good audio.
It's worth our time, I think.
I can't believe you spoiled that audio. I've been holding on to that for months, waiting to hear it.
So you watch every Marvel movie in the universe for 11 years. You're walking into film number 22, Endgame, and somebody screams at you. And we saw this in the news over the weekend. Somebody screams spoilers from the film he's just come out of to you who's going into it. They beat the hell out of that guy, didn't
Rightfully
they?
Rightfully so.
We're talking about spoiler alerts here on the Kevin and Bean Show. How long is it okay during a TV show, for instance, to tweet about it? Is it on the person who's on social media to stay away from it? How long after a movie like Endgame can you start discussing it openly without worrying about spoiling it? That's the topic on the Kevin and Bean Show. 1-800-520-1067.
Let me ask one qualifying question. Mm-hmm. Is it okay to tweet about, say, in the day when Walking Dead was the biggest thing in the world and you would watch it? There was an East Coast feed. I would watch that, but I would wait until the West Coast feed. And then I would say, spoilers.
You don't need to write spoilers on Twitter.
It's a real-time website.
It's what you do. That's what the site's whole goal is.
But I'm saying I'm trying to help people not.
I disagree
with you.
Jensen and Allie. And I also say to Kevin, and I told you this at the time, on a tweet, you read a whole tweet in 1 second with your eye. The word spoiler alert is seen just as easily as the words that come after.
You read way faster than me.
Let's go to Courtney.
She's to sound it out.
She's up next to the Kevin and Bean Show. Courtney, you disagree with many people in this room. What's on your mind?
Well, I have a lot to say because I have personally experienced a lot of this. And I have to say for Endgame, people have been very quiet and I've been very impressed by that.
Mm-hmm.
But I am so glad that I don't watch Game of Thrones because, dear God, it's been spoilers everywhere. And it is so horrendous. I'm like, wow, that's.
What do you
so
mean
bad.
It's so like, horrendous?
There was a morning talk show on in my break room at work, and they said spoilers, and then they just went into it. And I was like, what on earth? And so many people in the room were so upset because they
Hold on a second. In defense of this unnamed morning talk show, and by the way, shame on you for it not being Kevin Amin. If somebody says spoilers, then they're allowed to say whatever they want because you've been warned to not listen if you don't want to get spoiled.
But if you're at work.
There was no time. And there was no time for anybody to run out of the room. It was just like, spoilers. This is what happened on Game of Thrones.
This is why these guys on KNX are dicks in the morning. I'm telling
you. It was a morning TV show. It's a morning TV show.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah. But the guy who got beat up absolutely deserved it. This is a movie that people have been waiting for years.
Agreed. I think he deserved it. I don't think maybe it should happen, but I think he did deserve it. That's a ridiculous thing to do. All right.
Thank you for the call. We very much appreciate you listening. All right. We have a complaint on line five with Allison. She says we're guilty of spoiler alerts.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Allison.
Hey, guys. So I don't have any social media.
Okay.
I wake up in the morning and all I hear is Jon Snow dies. I have not seen any Game of Thrones yet. I was waiting for the season to start to binge watch the whole thing.
Okay, hold up. So you're saying you haven't started the series yet, not just this season. So episode one of season one you haven't watched yet.
Well, I started watching it when the season started, but that was after I was already spoiled.
Oh, I have terrible news about so many things for you. Harry Potter, Rosebud's a sled,
so many things. So you heard us in the recap leading up to the final season. You heard us make reference to a plot point from like three seasons ago, and now you're mad at us.
I have no idea when that happens.
All right. It was like three seasons ago.
You guys, we need to be more aware of where Allison is in her viewing as to not spoil season three of Game of Thrones. Allison, get off my soul.
Luke and Leia, brother and sister.
Hey!
All right.
Wow. Been a while.
Almost. Mm-hmm. 106.7 KROQ. It is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:54.
He is the 10-year host of the Comedy Bang Bang podcast. Our friend Scott Aukerman joins us in studio coming up next hour. Brad Williams at 9 o'clock. And Jensen, I know it's not Thursday, but you're going to sort of get us up on a new band coming up after the top of the hour.
Yeah, it's a special bonus.
All right.
Can't wait. First, Allie's got what's happening here on a Tuesday.
Who amongst us has CBS All Access?
I don't think.
No?
I don't.
All right. Well, Twilight Zone is returning for more episodes. It just received a second season from CBS All Access. I thought we had discussed somebody in the room getting the CBS All Access because they couldn't wait.
And then didn't care enough to renew.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that show wasn't what you thought it was going to be?
Yeah, it didn't push me to... I mean, in this world of packages and things that I got to purchase, it didn't push me.
Interesting. Yeah. All right. Well,
as you know, guys...
Yeah.
Too much TV?
Too much TV. Got it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and yeah, the first one was on YouTube, too.
Mm-hmm.
So you could watch that and kind of make your decision.
I got to see the second and third and was like, you know what? I'm not going to renew this.
Interesting.
But I do think CBS All Access, I think every one of these things is going to have TV shows that you have to make the decision about.
Right. Which I think, with Star Trek Discovery and Twilight Zone, that's kind of, those were the two draws for CBS All Access.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Jensen is out.
The good fight. Yes, that's another one that a lot of people love.
Mm-hmm. I am looking at their lineup. They also have a show called Why Women Kill. All of a sudden, very interested in CBS All Access.
I'm gonna surprise.
Check that
out. You just got
Allie. Yeah. You guys, is Bill Clinton getting ready to take his words of wisdom to the airwaves? Is it possible he's about to spill some tea?
He taking Bean Spot?
At 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. According to documents obtained by The Blast, a trademark application was just filed by the Bill Hillary and Chelsea Clinton Foundation in Arkansas for a podcast titled, Why Am I Telling You This? The filing states that the title will be used for, quote, downloadable podcasts in the field of creating global economic opportunity, improving public health, inspiring civic engagement and service, and the presidency of William J. Clinton. Unclear if President Clinton plans on hosting the podcast himself or will just be providing content and occasional quips about his presidency.
Hmm. It'd be funny if they had like Lauren Lapkus on and Adam Scott and just sort of like did the normal podcast.
Just totally normal.
Yeah.
I love
Weird
it.
Weird Al is my guest today.
Yeah. Hey, I mean, it's going to be so sad when he's like, you guys, do you have a mattress that you need fixed?
Bill Clinton doing me undies. Yeah.
He's like, I like to listen to my books on Audible.
So creepy. I do not want him talking about MeUndies.
I will absolutely listen to that because I am fascinated with the ins and outs of the presidency. Mm-hmm. But I also, if I were Bill Clinton, mm-hmm. how do I phrase this? I don't think he has received the full brunt of the Me Too-ism that Mm-mm. he deserves. Mm-mm. And I feel like I would continue to lay low if I were Bill Clinton. I feel like once he pops his head up, people are going to go, hey, look at the reaction to other people who have done less than you have compared to what you got away with.
And anytime he talks about women or anything like that, people are going to be listening closer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it is called
He's kind of asking for it, is what I'm saying.
Why am I telling you this?
Right.
Why am I telling you I'm a complete creeper and you were all totally right and I got away with murder? Maybe that's, you know. Interesting stuff right there, you guys. This is crazy. The next installment of the Harry Potter franchise may not include their embattled star, Johnny Depp. Again, The Blast is reporting, while Fantastic Beasts 3 has been given a premiere date of November 12th, 2021, Depp has not yet been approached to star.
Canceled.
He is God's gift.
I
just wanted to say I didn't say that.
The site has been told that Depp has a contract throughout the five-film franchise, but his option for each picture is handled separately. So he signs for the five films, and then they kind of go and decide each one if they're going to keep him.
They don't need him.
Happening.
He is a solid, solid person.
Yeah, mm-hmm. that's true. She has, J.K. Rowling has stood up for him numerous times. Mm-hmm. And I would think this could be the last stand. But let's see.
See that chap over there? Okay. Get your hand off my penis! This is the bike who got me on the penis, people.
It's not Johnny Depp.
Are you saying to replace Johnny Depp with the...
with that guy.
What is it, Democracy Manifest?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He passed away, I think, 2003.
Bring him back.
Really?
Yeah, CGI. Okay.
I like it.
Excellent. Remember people all up in an uproar on Sunday because they couldn't really see Game of Thrones, the battle scenes. It was a little too dark for them. Like, literally too dark for them.
And by the way, not for 45 seconds.
Yeah.
I mean, most of the episode.
Yeah, for large chunks of the episode. Well, Fabian Wagner, who's a cinematographer who's worked on a bunch of iconic Game of Thrones episodes, defended it to TMZ, saying that fans may have been watching the show in a bright room where it was supposed to be watched in a theater-like darkness, adding, quote, "We tried to give the viewers and fans a cool episode to watch. I know it wasn't too dark because I shot it."
Oh, God.
Oh, Fabian.
Wow.
Calm your teeth.
I heard somebody else from them saying, it's if you don't have a great TV, it just doesn't handle the blacks as well. And so the color's going to be a little bit
off. That sounds racist, Kevin.
What? Color black, racist. I'm saying.
Okay.
So that was made for that. So if you don't have that good of a TV, maybe that's your TV's problem.
What if Game of Thrones is like, sorry, you're poor. Ew. Did you just have to turn up, like, what is it, like the contrast? Is that what it was?
I couldn't
and
see it.
And would you even know where the contrast is on your
brightness,
TV?
At that, I think. Yeah.
The brightness.
I would do brightness, but I don't know.
Are you watching in pitch darkness?
No.
Okay.
Some video games have you do like a thing at the beginning where they test your TV. They're like, keep pressing up or down until
I like
you can
that.
See
that's
this
fine.
X.
But they're testing your TV so it works on your TV. That's not what happened here.
No.
Well.
Too dark.
Yeah.
Fabian Wagner. It wasn't too dark because I shot it.
Yeah, it's not his fault. It's our fault. Apparently.
Absolutely.
Look, we're just trying to sit down and watch TV shows.
Right?
Don't make it difficult.
We shouldn't have to jump through hoops.
Oh, some birthdays for you. Kirsten Dunst, Johnny Galecki, Kunal Nayar, Gal Gadot, and Travis.
Quick reminder, if you were not with us yesterday, you missed the announcement about the annual K-Rock Weenie Roast in Luau. We are taking it to the beach this time, which is going to be a completely different vibe. Super fun, I think, at Tahini State Beach.
So what? Smooth.
Yeah.
It's a different vibe.
It is a different vibe. I mean, you know, being at the beach just feels good, right?
Agreed.
Doheny State Beach in Dana Point. Lumineers are top of the bill. 311 Silver Sun Pickups, The Revivalist, Catfish and the Bottleman, Ex-Ambassadors, a couple of great new bands, Flora Cash and the duo of Smith and Tell out of Sweden, and The Regrets, who are super, super fun, too. It's going to be a fun day. Exclusive pre-sale for KROQ Street Team members Thursday at 10 a.m. and Friday at 10 a.m. for the public. You can get all the details at KROQ.com. Make sure to join us. It's going to be a blast.
Jensen came in yesterday and said, hey, found some new music, a new band for you guys, and I am excited to present it to you.
Do you think we're still taking submissions for the Weenie Roast?
I hope so.
Okay, then I have someone that I'd like to throw into the mix. I, every year, look at the lineup for the Gathering of the Juggalos.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
It's
You've been there.
I have performed there. I've been there. It's a tradition to look it over and say, who don't I know on this list? Okay. And who should I know about?
Okay.
And this year, one name stood out for me, especially as the fast food correspondent here, but I'd like to introduce you to Mac Sabbath.
I have seen them.
Okay. They are
awesome.
Brilliant. I researched and found out that they may be my new favorite band. They are a heavy metal cover band out of L.A., local. So maybe even for L.A. locals.
Oh,
you know
yeah.
what I mean? Like, this could be something huge for the station.
Okay,
they
go
take
on.
All of the lyrics and imagery from Black Sabbath, okay. and they make it about McDonald's. That's right.
That's pretty strong.
Every lyric from a Black Sabbath song is turned into a parody to incorporate fast food. They've anointed themselves the kings of drive-through metal. They formed back in 2014, and they're actually pretty good musicians. So, for example,
they've been doing this for 5 years.
Yes, and they're
this wasn't a one-time-only bit.
No, and I'm bringing them to K-Rock now. So, for example, Paranoid turns into Parabuns. Iron Man turns into Frying Pan. Sweet Beef, Sweet Leaf. Mm-hmm. Never Say Die is now Never Say Diet. Symptom of the Universe, that makes sense as zipping up the uniform. Now the band themselves, they dress up for every show.
Okay.
The lead singer, who goes by Ronald Osborne, dresses as a bloody, demented Ronald McDonald. His makeup is put on haphazardly. He looks bloody. It's
perfect.
Costumes homemade. It's actually terrifying. The guitarist's name is Slayer McCheese.
That's my friend's friend.
He's wearing a huge Mayor McCheese head, like a costume. Tusks are coming out of that. Mm-hmm. No explanation why.
Excellent.
The bassist is Grimalus, who is a full modified Grimace costume, head to toe. Full, I guess you'd call them like a furry.
Sure.
Head to toe, but his face is sort of demented. Okay.
All right.
Then there's the drummer. That's Cat Burglar, who's also known as Peter Chris Cut Fries. And that's because he's a perfect matchup. A perfect matchup of Peter, Chris, and the Hamburglar. Again, no explanation.
This sounds like a scary version of Slipknot.
It's, but more loving for kids, maybe? And the costumes are very high budget. Are you ready for the music?
Yes, please.
Okay. This first one is Parabuns, and it's to the tune of Paranoid. And let me bring you up to speed as to what the lyrics you'll be hearing are.
Okay.
Drink a Coke and supersize, your order and get extra fries. Happiness your child will feel when he eats his Happy Meal. And so as you hear these words of our processed cows and birds, where you don't need a fork or knife. Play the song!
Drink a Coke and supersize, your order and get extra fries. Happiness your child will feel when he eats his Happy Meal.
Now imagine that at a beach. Their next song is just as good, and get ready for, I mean, you'll know the tune, but get ready for the ending, which is my new catchphrase. Yells fat baby. The band
perfect beach vibe, this first
is,
of all.
I mean, if this doesn't say Weenie Roast, what does? The band members completely live the gimmick. They never do interviews outside of their characters. They all have ridiculous backstories that involve, like, coming from Mars or whatever it is. Their live show involves, obviously, the costumes, but also visual effects. It's bonkers. You can see them live. June 8th at the Concert Lounge in Riverside, or June 9th at St. Rock in Hermosa Beach.
They're booked on the same day
That's
as the
same
Weenie
day.
Roast.
Don't go to that.
How
don't,
are we supposed to, what?
Don't go to that one. Go to the 9th. Also,
Jensen, how has McDonald's not sued them yet?
Because it's parody, man. You can't go after any of these people.
That's
this is,
awesome.
They're playing around. But also, while I was researching, more importantly, I found another band.
Oh.
And I thought about making this another feature down the road, but I can't hold it in anymore.
Okay.
They've opened for a metalcore band called Oakley Dokley. That's inspired by the Simpsons character Ned Flanders. They all dress as Ned Flanders, and they only use Flanders quotes as lyrics. All right, that's it. Have a great day.
Right? I mean, that's the kind of high-quality entertainment you get on the Comedy Bang Bang podcast, ladies and gentlemen. Director, comedian, actor, writer, producer, and if I remember correctly, Emmy winner, Scott Arnold?
Oh, two-time Emmy winner, but who's who can count up to two?
Oh. Oh my gosh. Hi guys.
Hello.
Hey, that was so Scott. Crazy how you were all singing along to that fun song.
Oh,
and
yeah,
just
yeah,
like,
sure,
yeah,
sure,
in unison. Well, that's yeah. the behind the scenes
that's
stuff that you don't
do.
Hear.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
we do.
Arm in
are
arm.
You famous
in,
are you famous enough that if you, God forbid, you passed away,
Jesus.
Would you make it
how
to
how do you
the
start
Emmy?
An interview
what is
with
going
that?
On?
No, I can already tell you no, just from are you famous?
Are you famous enough that if you passed away, God forbid, you in memoriam segment?
He would 100% be in the in memoriam. He won an
so?
Emmy. Yes.
I think so. I yes. mean, you know, when I was, I wrote on the Emmys for a year when Andy Samberg hosted, mm-hmm. and our friend Harris Whittles, who had just passed away, we were like actually trying to angle to get him into the In Memoriam, and luckily he was already in it. But
yeah.
it's one of those weird things where they exclude some people.
That is strange.
And they,
yes.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, I'd like to think so.
I don't think you'd make it, Scott. Well,
thanks, buddy.
Wow.
Bean, I'm so glad that I'm in here before you leave.
Right, so, exactly.
I feel like I'm supposed to be here to like sing you a song, like Bette Miller, or like.
Yeah. We're up for a song. Go ahead.
Goodbye, Mr. Bean. You're traveling to the land of Ing. Huh? They call it Beangland, where you'll hang out with the Queen.
He's still got it, ladies and gentlemen. He's still got it.
Now he just got out of the In Memoriam.
Yeah. I'm out.
Is Scott, there, do you feel like you've done enough interviews this week? Do you feel like you've done enough interviews on your podcast this week?
Okay, so this is the 10th anniversary of the Comedy Bang Bang podcast, and I did I decided to have on all of our favorite guests from the past 10 years, and it turned into a 10-hour show.
I went to part one. And it said 5 hours.
You
and
went
some
to it. I love you. Didn't listen
no, I listened,
to it. You
I
went
did,
to it.
I listened. I don't know, 3.5-4 hours, which really is pretty good.
Yeah, that's
for
not.
Me.
Yeah, that,
really.
Yeah, I can't
but
believe it.
Yes, but then
that's longer than the Avengers.
But then part two is also 5 hours.
Yeah. It's too much.
It's too much.
I don't expect anyone. Look, I'm here to promote it. I don't expect anyone to listen to it.
Okay, good.
Yeah, listen to a different episode.
But podcasts you can listen to in segments. I mean, it's not like you have to listen to all in one time.
We did it really interestingly where we did like 20 minutes at a time segments. It's just stretched out over 10 hours. Mm-hmm. But
okay, but did you actually, in fact, like you said at the beginning of the podcast, I listened to about the first 40 minutes or so.
Dean, you're the fan, right?
Right. I'm the fan. No, but I have a big road trip coming up, and I'm going to listen to the rest of it. How about that?
Are you driving to where you're going to live?
No, it's a separate trip, but I am driving 3,000 miles next week, so I definitely will take you along for company. But here's my question for you.
Yeah.
Did you do, truthfully, as you said at the beginning of the podcast, you sent out an email blast basically to everybody you ever met and said, I'm doing this show from this hour to this hour. Anyone can come on by. And you actually taped the whole thing in one day?
Now, Bean, you're in show business.
Right.
You know how things actually work.
Showbiz adjacent.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you're New Orleans.
Because I thought that was brilliant if you were really going to try to pull that off and do it all in one day.
Yeah, I did, man. Thanks for thinking I'm brilliant.
Really great. Scott, it was so adorable this morning. He said, he just opened it up and said, hey, if you're listening, come on by. Swing by. We'll do
and
an interview.
In the
and I was like,
way,
Bean.
You're adorable, Bean.
Yeah,
thank you so much.
And I also just tapped him. I was like, I think he may have recorded it over amount of time. Yeah. Bean's like, no, he said.
Nope, he invited
it. Showbiz.
I have never lied on that show.
Yeah. That's literally all he does.
I want to believe, you guys. I want to believe.
Let's let Bean believe, you guys.
Okay,
let's give it to him.
It really is
Paul
like
F. Tompkins
who's
is
who,
your,
man.
Paul F. Tompkins is your most popular guest with over 150 appearances on Comedy Bang.
Yeah, out of 600 episodes, he's done a quarter of them. Wow.
That's astonishing.
Yeah.
Who is your favorite guest, though?
Wow. Well, of course, I have to say Paul F. Tompkins because I went on tour with him two and a half times. He's great. He's so amazing. That's why I keep having him on all the time. But, you know, there's great people. Jason Mantzoukas. I love who's in the upcoming John Wick 3. He plays the TikTok man.
Unbelievable.
TikTok, Mr. Wick. Andy Daly. You know, that's the great thing about the show is we have so many, you know, incredible comedians on playing characters. If you haven't heard the show, it's like me talking to regular celebrities like John Hamm. But then we also have comedians playing characters. So, you know, I mean, it's just over 10 years, there's been thousands of people on the show.
And so
it's
many
just,
great improvers.
John Hamm was good and was also an improver, which is just he rolled with whatever you were doing.
Yeah, exactly. John's like a super comedy fan who can act. He's a guy who can actually do it.
Right.
You know,
he's
like
not there to be interviewed. He's there to be part of it.
Yes. If he wanted to be, he could have a totally separate career as an improv comedian, and he would be just as successful.
That's annoying.
The annoying thing about him is he takes those incredibly symmetrical looks and then uses them for good. Yeah. I hate it.
He also has, we've discussed this before, the best line ever on Between Two Ferns.
Was the line?
Well, I can't say it on the air, but...
Oh, yes.
You mean in a
Allie's holding up her finger, yes. And doing sort of a come hither motion.
It was odd. But I'm just saying, watch
Between
Two Ferns.
Is that the style that you enjoy?
No, I don't know why I did it towards me. Now I'm creeped out myself.
Hello.
You learned more about Allie than you hoped to today.
Interesting. All right.
We all did.
I think Andy Daly should be a huge star. He is great in everything he does.
He's on Veep currently.
That's what I was going to ask. Did he talk to you about what it's been like joining Veep for the final season?
Well, you know... He did. He couldn't talk about it publicly, and he was very confused about at what point could he even tell anyone, because they never even said...
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. He was like, I have this huge arc on Veep right now, and I can't tell anybody.
Just forever, he thinks?
Yeah. So he literally didn't... He thought it would have to air before he could say, oh, I'm on a few of them. But about a week out, they announced that he was on it. But yeah, he's amazing. He's so
great.
Funny.
He's great on it.
Yeah,
I think Comedy Bang Bang is filled with that kind of talent, of people where you're like, why aren't you in everything? From people like Carl Tart or Lauren Lapkus. If you are a diehard of the podcast, it's like you are writing for a few people. Like, those are the people, when you see them show up, like John Wick, when Mantzoukas pops up, any Comedy Bang Bang fan is going to, like, cheer.
Right. And people like, you know, Ego Wodim, who's on SNL right now. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, she'd been doing the show for about a couple of years before she got on SNL. So it, like, makes you root for her on SNL because you know how funny she is. And you're like, put her on more, more.
And I've gotten Bean very much into Adomian, James Adomian.
Oh, yeah,
who
the best.
Is the
great.
Best and does the Tom Likas impression and Jesse Ventura for
and
you.
And Bernie Sanders now. He's going to have hopefully another Trump versus Bernie tour this year.
His debates are ridiculous. Yeah,
an amazing impressionist in character work.
Yeah. Do you feel, Scott, and we got to take a break with Scott Aukerman, by the way. This Comedy Bang Bang podcast is available on the Earwolf Network. 10 hours for the latest episode, but new episodes
Don't
every
listen.
Monday. Is that right? Every Monday?
Every Monday, yes.
Do listen.
Yeah. Do you feel like these people that you have on early, like Thomas Middleditch or Chelsea Peretti, and then they go off to have these amazing careers, do you feel like we do on the Kevin and Bean Show, which is we're the only ones with no talent, so we're left behind, and the people who can fly, they get off the show go off and make something of themselves?
Yeah, a lot of people don't know that when they come to do the show, we sign a deal where I'm their agent and manager.
Oh, wow.
So,
smart.
Yeah. So I have a really sweetheart deal where it's a 50% deal, too.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Yeah.
So, that seems better than average.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Why didn't we think
definitely.
About that with Kimmel and Carolla? Kevin,
right?
We would be rich right now.
Oh,
well, we're
God.
Dumb. Bean. We're dumb is the answer to that.
Yeah, I mean, you know. Yeah, you guys, hopefully Kimmel gives you a little walking around money every
he
once in a while.
He won't even take our calls anymore.
Yeah, he
won't even take our calls.
In 2 years.
Scott Aukerman is our guest.
Jensen.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait.
A quick break. More with our guests right after this on K-Rock. Our friend Scott Aukerman in studio with us now. He is the host of Comedy Bang Bang, the podcast, director, comedian, actor, writer, producer, co-creator of the Earwolf Network, would you say?
Yeah, we started it. A guy, Jeff Ulrich, and I, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You could just jump into the new episode. It's 10 hours long.
Yeah, just jump in. It'll give you a good view of what the show is.
It's for the casual listener.
By the way, 10 years ago when we started, it was in the building next door.
Is that right?
Yeah. Really? So the same owners and the same elevators and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, this is
that
like coming home for me.
That was Indie 103.1 back then,
uh-huh.
Right?
Yeah.
It which started was, as a radio show.
As an internet radio show. If you recall, K-Rock had already crushed them by the time my show came on 10 years ago. So it was only on the internet. And as a side thing, I would podcast it. And then I quickly found out how much more popular podcasts are than internet-only radio shows. So it just kind of segued into that. But yeah, this is I haven't been back in this building for 9 years. So yeah, this is amazing.
That's a crazy flashback.
Yeah.
Was it a tough sell to do a show like that on a music station back in the day, 10 years ago?
You know, the program director then was kind of... Look, it wasn't a tough sell because they couldn't afford to pay DJs because it was internet only now.
Sure.
And
yeah.
So they were looking for anyone to do it for free.
You're going
to
provide us for content with free? Good.
Yeah.
We're good.
And then the other part of it was, you know, through the show that I was doing at the Upright Citizens Brigade Theater in town, I knew a lot of famous comedians, and they were like, if you can get famous comedians in here to be on the show, then, you know, we'll give you a show. So I had people like Sarah Silverman and Tom Lennon was on the first show and Kevin Nealon and all, wow. You know, those kind of people in the first month. And so he was like, okay, you can continue going. And then, you know, I very quickly left the radio station once it
you
became
ran
a podcast.
Out of friends.
Yeah, exactly.
I read an article and I thought it was so interesting.
Oh, congrats.
Thank you. Back
all right,
to
so
you.
New topic.
Scott! You were talking about podcasting and when you would say to comics, oh, just come on and do this. And they'd say, oh, no, I can get up in front of a crowd and everybody hears me that way. And you're like, no, this way people all across the country will hear you. It was like a tough sell at first for people.
Yeah, podcasting 10 years ago, people didn't know what it was. And actually, because the show started at a radio station, I mean, look, I wanted to be on the radio because of listening to people like you guys. You know, I love the radio.
Take it easy.
And I've been listening since 1994, having grown up around here. And so, you know, I really wanted to do a radio show. So it was a little easier to get people to come on to a radio show, mm-hmm. which it was for the first year. Like Ben mm-hmm. Stiller was on because it was a radio show.
Sure.
And then it became a podcast only. And people were like, what is it, a podcast? And so it's a lot of favors. But yeah, people didn't know what podcasts were 10 years ago.
Were you describing to them what a podcast was? Like, how was that battle?
Well, first you have to describe an iPod. And
okay.
Then if people didn't understand what that is, you have to go back to computers, I guess. And then, you know. But people like Paul Scheer, you know, who I met Jensen through, mm-hmm. Had the foresight to be like, podcast? Yeah, man. Okay, yeah, that sounds great. And he started his own, you know, 9 years ago. So,
yeah. And you have said recently, and I think you're not far from the truth, that not only does every American have his own podcast now, but there's a podcast about every American now, too.
Yeah, I mean, you're legally required to not only have your own, but also everyone has to be about someone else in the world.
I'm nervous that people are murdering people just to make podcasts about that murder.
Well,
like, I think that's a good idea for a movie or a TV show.
Oh, stop. Let's not talk
and
about it.
And I own this idea now?
How did you get ownership of it already?
Sorry.
Oh, no.
I just registered it with a WGA.
Sorry. Fast. Scott, when did you meet your eventual Between Two Ferns partner, Zach Galifianakis? Do you remember?
Yes, I do. I had seen him live at the Largo here in town. I thought he was really funny. And then I went up to the Aspen Comedy Fest. I don't know if you remember that. That was HBO's comedy festival in Aspen, Colorado. And I went up there in 1997. And I was watching a show and I saw this dude next to me. I was like, oh, this is the dude that I saw at Largo. He's really funny. And I went up to him and I said, hey, I didn't know that you were invited to be part of this festival. And Zach said, oh, I'm not. I'm doing my own festival. And I said, what? And he was doing his own Aspen Comedy Festival in a hotel nearby.
Really?
No.
Yeah. And I thought
that's so awesome. On brand for
I
Zach.
I thought it was so funny. And so I was like, I got to work with this guy. So I got to know him and we did some things together. And so then when I was doing a show, I really wanted to do something with him. And so I called Zach up and I said, hey, I want to do like a short with you. What do you want it to be? And he said, I've always wanted to do a public access show called Between Two Ferns. And he had no other idea than that.
So he just knew the title and that's
it. He knew the title. And then we had Michael Sarah also wanted to do something for the show. And so I said, well, let's get Mike involved. And we just improvised the entire thing and turned it into that.
The character that he plays, not knowing anything about the guest, was just so fun. And the guests that you guys got were amazing.
Well, everybody.
Yeah.
From the president on down, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, from the president on up. Yeah, it's...
you just made a slogan. You can't stop creating slogans.
The last one we did was Jerry Seinfeld and Cardi B together. Which was a weird combo.
And now they've went on tour together.
The interesting thing about Cardi B is we all came back to talk to her when she got there to take her through what was going to happen. And she had a very confused look on her face as I was describing what was going to happen. And as we were all walking out of the room, she turned to Jerry Seinfeld and said, "Oh, you're that guy."
Oh, no.
Fantastic.
We suddenly realized she had no idea who any of us were.
Fantastic.
And the best part about that is that Jerry Seinfeld, maybe the biggest comedian in the world, completely ignored on this podcast.
Biggest comedian with the biggest television show of the 1990s.
Yes. It's like, you're the B guy from the B movie.
it's like you're Jesus Christ. Oh, yeah.
Now, is there a movie being made of Between Two Ferns?
I don't know. Is there? Well, that's crazy. That would be
a crazy rumor.
How would you turn that into a movie? It doesn't make any sense. I don't know. I hear these rumors all the time, and it just doesn't make any sense to me. I don't know how you can turn it.
Is that a dodge, or are we telling the truth?
I've never lied. I told you that before.
I know. I've heard
one of us tells the truth, and one of us always lies. Which one am I?
He's also a psychopath.
Yeah.
So, no, that's not possible.
It couldn't be possible. How would you turn a dumb internet short into a movie?
Yeah.
It's like ridiculous.
I think it'd be stretching the concept.
It really would. I wouldn't want to see that.
What's your follow-up from the Michael Bolton's Big Sexy Valentine's Day special? That was amazing.
So it's still out there on Netflix.
Great.
That's the weird thing is, like, anyone can watch anything on Netflix for years and years to come. So it's not old. It's just still there.
Just you haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, Michael Bolton is so funny and occasionally
so funny.
And so supportive. Occasionally I'll text him things. I was working with Jeff Goldblum on a special he was doing at Capitol Records, and Michael walked through the building like he's just hanging out at Capitol Records. They opened doors for him at any studio he wants to go in.
Sure.
And so I was texting him, and he's just so sweet and so wonderful. But yeah, that was a really funny special that we did with The Lonely Island, where we had, you know, Andy Samberg and Maya Rudolph and Sarah Silverman and Randall Park and so many great people on it. And he's so funny.
I have been associated with some of the funniest stuff of the last 25 years.
And
yet
no one knows who I am. And I appreciate you.
It's a beautiful thing, right?
I appreciate you.
Comedy.
I can walk down the street unencumbered. It's wonderful.
Much Comedy like Bang you guys. Bang is the podcast. It's available at iTunes, earwolf.com, comedybangbang.com. You definitely have to deep dive. And this 10th anniversary episode, part one and part two, is a great way to get caught up with some of the all-time greatest guests. Scott, before you go, we want to ask you 60 seconds with. Kevin is going to, or Allie, I guess today, is going to rapid-fire questions at you. Just first thing that comes to your mind, all right?
Hit me, baby.
Dream podcast guest.
I think you and Kevin and Bean, you've all been invited.
Excellent.
Not the current president of the United States. No, that would be bad. Doesn't have a sense of humor. The next president of the United States, whomever they may be.
Do you think it's weird that Tarzan has no beard?
It is. Like, where does he find the razors?
Exactly. Deserted Island. You can only bring U2 albums or REM albums. Who do you choose?
Uh-oh. I think U2 has more albums, so more to listen to.
Okay. Right. If you had to, would you stop, drop, shut them down, or open up shop?
I think I'll open up shop. Yeah. I mean, you know, this desert island I presume I'm on while I'm doing this, it needs a little more infrastructure. So.
Yes. If you could kill someone and get away with it, would you?
Oh, of course. Yeah. To murder is man's greatest desire.
Oh, great. Red vines or Twizzlers?
Red vines. I'm not a Twizzlers dude.
Yep. Dog kisses on the mouth.
Of course. I have two dogs. I love them.
Oh!
I love
that
answer.
Is he the first ever dog kisses on the mouth?
Yes. Third. J.D. Pardo,
okay.
And then someone else who I
Jimmy
can't
Pardo?
Believe.
He's allergic.
No, J.D. Pardo.
Oh, J.D. Pardo.
Yeah,
okay.
Very
You
different.
Did know that Jimmy Pardo was allergic to dogs so quickly.
Well, he stopped coming over to my house once I got a dog.
Whoa. Well, that's what he says.
Yeah.
6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin Devine Show at 8:54.
Boy, I wouldn't want to be a comedian having to come on this show after Scott Aukerman
right.
just killed it for the last two segments, right?
Yeah.
Whew. Brad Williams is in the other room, by the way.
That poor... What?
What? Huh? Brad Williams?
Oh,
yeah,
poor guy.
He's in the other room.
Yeah.
Brad, you should make a run for it, dude. I mean, I know it'll take you a while to get very far, but you should totally make a run for it. All right, Brad Williams joins us just after 9. Allie's here. Time for another look at what's happening here on a Tuesday morning Kevin and Bean show.
Very sad news yesterday. John Singleton, the Oscar-nominated writer and director of Boys in the Hood, was taken off of life support. That's 13 days after a major stroke. John Singleton was just 51 years old. Boys in the Hood, you guys, can we discuss for a minute, first of all, one of the definitive movies of a generation?
Agreed.
It led to his Oscar nominations for Best Director and Best Original Screenplay, all at the tender age of 24 years old, you guys.
Yeah.
Youngest ever Best Director nominee. I think Orson Welles was 25.
He was the youngest filmmaker and the first African-American to earn a nomination in those categories. And Boys in the Hood...
Did you guys get the impression... I'm sorry to interrupt, but did you guys get the impression when Boys in the Hood came out that you had never seen another movie like it?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it was a spotlight was on. Yeah, a spotlight on a part of society and a part of even the city that we lived in that mm-hmm. most of us white people didn't even know about.
It was Los Angeles like I had never seen it,
and it was a real 1-2 punch with Menace to Society around the same time too. So it was really a couple of great movies in a row.
Yeah, and by the way, that movie currently housed in the Library of Congress. And in addition to Boys in the Hood, Singleton's work spanned genres and generations. A remake of Shaft. I didn't put a T. That was weird.
You didn't.
Historical films like Rosewood, action films, Too Fast, Too Furious, films that question the meaning of American masculinity, like Baby Boy and Four Brothers. He also worked with TV and streaming platforms as a director on hits like Billions, The People versus O.J. Simpson, American Crime Story, and Empire. And he basically brought forth mega talents that we hadn't seen. Acting, Tupac, Regina King, Cuba Gooding Jr., Terrence Howard, Ice Cube, Tyrese, Taraji P. Henson, some of the biggest stars of our time.
Janet Jackson,
yeah, Poetic Justice.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Unbelievable. What a unbelievable trailblazer, a legend, and in 51 short years, what a life he led. And
heaven must be really crowded.
Not sure where.
Heaven.
What's,
heaven really crowded,
heaven is crowded, I hope. Thank you for that.
Very Rodney odd. Likes to comment. That's
he
all.
He does, and I appreciate it. Guys, remember that 12-year-old kid, Mason Ramsey? He was yodeling in a Walmart in Illinois.
Ugh.
People started videotaping him, and then all of a sudden he shows up that year at Coachella on stage. Very weird. He was absent.
Why?
I agree, Rodney.
He yodels. But he was absent from Stagecoach this weekend. Huge bummer. And let me just refresh your memory if you're like, I don't remember what Yodel Kid sounds like.
Have we heard enough?
Yeah, we've.
I don't know.
We're good.
Maybe it's because I like Coen Brother movies. Uh-huh. This is cool. I don't know why I like this.
Was he in a Walmart?
Yeah. He was in a Walmart in Illinois.
I'm like, beat it, kid. I have stuff to buy. What
Please.
Are you doing?
You're in a Walmart, sir.
He wasn't at Stagecoach because he was just about to wrap up his 11-date How's Your Girl and How's Your Family tour.
I'm sorry?
Where How's Your Girl and How's Your Family tour.
He
was surfing the crowd in an inflatable horse. Like, you know how sometimes you'll get
Wait,
in a
are
raft?
Wait, are we saying we don't like him? This all sounds great.
No. It gets better, you guys.
I'm saying I don't like him.
Come on. This sounds awesome.
Because he is set to announce next week a 30-day fall tour set to kick off on October 3rd. He's going to be, yodeling his way across all major markets, including New York City, Philly, Nashville, obviously, and Los Angeles. And I say
My
we
head
go.
Hurts.
You say we go.
I say we go, and we
I
watch
go on my
Yodel
own,
Kid.
But if we all went, I'd be in.
I'd go.
Yeah, get
that
hammered,
sounded
kinda watch
cool,
some yodeling.
Man. I'm in. I like that stuff.
But isn't it, Jensen, isn't it a novelty that he's a little kid who can yodel for 30 seconds? That's the extent of how much you want to hear from him. You don't want to see a 30-minute set by him.
Well,
that's the perfect set for
Jensen.
I mean,
that is my time.
No, that's for A-level bands, not
any band.
Okay.
I... I don't know. I don't know. He floats across the audience on an inflatable horse.
Inflatable horse. That happened in Ohio. By the way, his single Famous has racked up nearly 40 million streams on Spotify.
By the way, I don't hate that song. I've heard it. Don't hate it.
Jensen loves little Mason Ramsey. What about Mason Ramsey
as the kid's name?
As your baby's name.
I'll put it on the list.
I love it.
Maybe they'll be it. Coachella next year.
Well, he was at Coachella last year. Not this past Coachella, but the year before.
Yes, what a show.
It was quite a show. Some birthdays for you guys. Gal Gadot, Travis Scott, Kunal Nayar, Johnny Galecki, and Kirsten Dunst. And
.7 K Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:07.
You guys, Brad Williams making his return to the Kevin and Bean Show.
All right, everybody. I'm here to promote April Foolishness. This Sunday, I'm going to be there. I'm closing the show.
Last Friday.
What? For you.
Yeah, oh, it was just, that's not good.
Friday. Brad was on April Foolishness. I believe you headlined one year, didn't you, Brad?
Yeah.
Last year.
Yeah, last year. And I closed out
He was
out
on
with
April Foolishness four times, you guys.
Wow.
And killed every time.
You did a Kid Rock song, right?
Yes. So, don't say that right after Bean said I killed four times. They'd be like, oh, you did a Kid Rock song.
I'm just asking.
Now people don't have a positive view in their head. They're like, oh, you did a Kid Rock song.
But they did before.
Why would I go see Brad Williams this weekend at the Pasadena Ice House Comedy Club, two shows Friday, two shows Saturday, when he's doing Kid Rock songs? I'm not doing Kid Rock songs anymore.
Well done with the plug. It just sounds natural.
Very smooth.
No one even caught that.
Position.
Your platonic life partner, Adam Ray, and podcast co-host, headlined this past Friday night, and he was tremendous.
Yeah.
I don't know what he told you about the show, but he went over great. And the whole I wish you could have been there, Brad, because you missed the Kevin and Bean rap battle.
I saw, holy God.
Yeah.
And all I can say is now, is anyone that impressed with rappers anymore? If Kevin and Bean can do it.
I know. I feel like I have pulled a curtain back a bit.
Like,
I know.
Jensen, you were the man in rap, and now I had so much respect for you. Now I don't.
No, what I am, but you have to understand, I'm sort of the guy who did the magic special where I showed you how magic tricks are made.
Yeah.
Like, that's who I've been for the last few years, and I did it with
You're like, oh, it's
them.
Two women in the box?
Yeah.
When they cut it in half? That makes it so much easier.
Wait till you hear what I have to say about very serious fast rhymes. But they're not saying anything. They're just going, and you think it's rap.
Yeah. It was so good, guys.
No way we're real rappers, though. In no way. We just cobbled together whatever Jensen told us to say. But I think you would have enjoyed it in person. It was really, really
fun.
Keep asking, Dave, and I think the video, the actual real quality video is going up today. I think we'll have a chance to see it on the website.
That's what we were told yesterday as well.
And then
I know.
All I see when I read all the comments is, Bean, why are you retiring? Bean, you can still do it. Bean, why are you leaving us? Have you seen Bean? You should retire. You're out. You're done.
What does it mean you're out? Like, explain.
All right. All I'm saying is, like, Bean looks like if ketamine was a person.
Okay? Like,
wow.
You're done,
Bean.
When did this turn into the beanie roast?
You're done, Bean. Go relax. Enjoy your life. Get some melanin content.
The little person is not wrong, you guys. I think he is correctly reading the situation. You look at me and you don't go, there's a dynamic young man. He's got 40 more years ahead of him. You go get this guy a wheelchair and a blanket and put him by the beach for his final days.
He passed his expiration date?
Bean looks like a ghost whose unfinished business is molesting children.
I'm gonna just keep it a bean.
That's too far,
Brad. Retire, Bean.
Too far, Bean says.
I'm going. I'm not retiring, but I'm going.
So you're buying a farm? Is that the thing?
I know the expression is he bought the farm, but no, I hope not. I hope that's not the
no,
case.
And all joking aside, Bean, you know I love you, and you know what you've done for this city, and this platform is
too early for this.
Too early.
Months to go.
Yeah.
Okay, let's not talk about this.
I'll tell you again.
This makes him very uncomfortable.
Yes, that's the thing, is that a few months from now, or whenever it is, you know, time, he won't want it.
No, I'm sure. Yeah. All I'm saying is, Bean, I'm glad you're retiring so you can go and enjoy your hot wife.
Okay, thank you. That I'll accept. I appreciate that. Brad Williams is here. He's at the Ice House Comedy Club for 4 big shows this weekend. 2 shows Friday, 2 shows Saturday. IcehouseComedy.com. Tickets just $25, 21 and up. Where are you in the new hour versus creating stuff for the next Showtime special? Where are you in the process right now, Brad?
Yeah, it's a brand new hour. So if you watch my Netflix half hour, The Degenerates, it's all new material from that. And wow, you be married for a little over a year. You get some material.
It helps.
Yeah.
It helps.
Did you get married just to get more content?
I guess.
That's how it's working out.
I didn't think it was going to be this fast, but all of a sudden you get married to a woman, you live together. Oh, my wife, this is true. My wife has a support group for comedian wives and girlfriends.
I think that's smart.
She runs it?
Yes. She runs a support group where when we're on the road, these five comedians' wives and girlfriends get together and talk about the hard life of staying home while your husband goes and makes money. It's so... Oh, I feel so bad for them that they get to be in these large houses all by themselves.
All houses are large to you. That doesn't
that's
count.
Very true. Oh, man. She just sits there and then I come home. Oh, man, after going to Wichita, Kansas, and I hand her a check. Oh, the struggle! Wow. The pain!
There's some real issues going on here.
It's going well.
Right, the first year, the real honeymoon phase.
All right, we need to take a break, but we want to talk about your wife spoiling for you the Avengers.
Last night!
All right.
Oh, no.
We'll talk about that next.
Comedian Brad Williams on Twitter, @FunnyBrad. Website, BradWilliamsComedy.com. In studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He'll be at the Ice House Comedy Club this weekend in Pasadena, right?
That's right.
Pasadena, Friday, May 3rd, Saturday, May 4th. 2 shows each night. Tickets available at IcehouseComedy.com.
Brad, did you say this? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And Brad, co-host About Last Night.
Okay, go.
Podcast with Adam Ray. You've had some, I just want to mention, unbelievable guests lately.
Yeah. It's been
you're punching above your
run. Absolutely, which is not hard to do. But, and then this week we have a guest on that's just kind of just for me and Adam, but it was it's a really fascinating conversation. We have the actor that was in Cool Runnings that played the rich kid that wasn't supposed to.
Oh my god.
This is a very specific thing.
Did he wash your car? Did you get to ask him then?
No, he's a casting agent now.
Oh.
He's doing very well for himself.
Okay, all right.
But yeah, we and so then we got to talk about Cool Runnings for an hour.
I'm not positive that you want to bring that up after Bean praises you for having huge stars on your...
The weekend before we had Nate Bargatze.
Okay,
so you can go back to that one and listen to that one.
Did you guys dive deep into the intricacies of Cool Runnings? Does he answer the questions that have been left behind?
Yes, I had questions about that movie.
Well, obviously, working with John Candy, Dougie Doug.
Yes, you're a fan of the movie.
I mean, listen, feel the rhythm, feel the rhyme. I'm just saying, I don't need to know more.
You have that as a tramp stamp.
Yeah. You know all you need to know.
Yeah, I know enough. I know enough.
All right, Brad, what's going on with your wife? Because I know that you're hardwired for comedy. Like, you want to say the funny thing in every situation.
Sure.
And I have found, living with my bride for all these years, they're not always in the mood to joke. They're not always looking for the comedy aspect of a situation.
That is correct.
What's it been like for you now that you've been married a while?
Well, we do have most couples have a safe word for sex. We have a safe word for when I'm taking a joke too far.
Oh, that gets used a lot, I assume.
Yeah. So I start talking about her mom or whatever, and then she just says the word cephalopod, and then I go, okay.
It's quite the word.
I have to stop.
Well, yeah.
Right, because when you hear that, you're like, what the hell?
Right.
It does get your attention.
Yes, although no amount of safe words could have stopped my wrath last night.
What happened?
We're on our way to see Avengers, and don't worry, I will not spoil anything. You can keep listening.
Okay.
So we're on our way, and I've been avoiding Twitter. All right. I have blocked LaShawn McCoy. Okay.
Sure. Okay.
Nothing is going to spoil this movie for me because I want to see it so badly.
Have you seen all 21 or most? Okay.
Yes. All done. And I'm not even watching previews because I just want to go in fresh. So we're driving to the theater. We're driving to the ArcLight where Kevin's photo still hangs. deep cut. And we're driving, and she goes, oh, I wonder if there's a post-credit scene, because all the Marvel movies have a post-credit scene. She goes, oh, I'll just look it up and see. And I go, okay, that's fine.
You can see.
And she goes, oh, there's something to where at the end of the movie, and I go, stop!
Oh, no.
Stop!
So she's like, found something, but yes. You don't want to hear about it.
And she goes, no, it's not a spoiler, it's just that, stop! Like, it's a sound. It's just a sound, and all you hear is, shut up! I yelled at my wife, and I'm like, I felt so bad.
Well, you worked really hard to avoid it till Tuesday.
Yeah, because we're driving to the theater, and I'm just like, shut, stop talking.
No, if I were her and you were yelling like that, I'd keep right on going.
Yeah. And then, turns out, we watch the movie. It's amazing.
Right.
It's wonderful. Everyone should go see it. And then we stay till the end so we can get this little post-credit thing.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, I will not say what it is because I'm a good human being. But I hear the thing that's at the end of the credits, and I go, see, that would have spoiled it for me. And she goes, there's no way you could have. Like, you don't understand how deep the nerdom goes that I would have been able to piece together, like those cops trying to find serial killers, like just threads to all these things.
Oh, I see.
I could have figured it out. So, yeah. But
so there is something at the end of the movie?
I mean, we're not going to spoil anything.
You're supposed to stick around, is what you're talking
about. I mean,
you have to tell me if I'm staying. That's not a spoiler.
I mean, if you...
Are you trying to spoil my day?
No.
Is that what you're saying?
You're not going to see the movie. You're out at 30 minutes. You're not going to see the movie.
I'll see it in parts.
I would say if you're a hardcore
Avengers
fans, stay till the end.
No, but I'm saying, is it...
I can't. But if I explain to you what it is, then...
Am I staying to see the name of the key grip, or am I staying because there's content?
There's
content.
It's a really good key grip.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
Very, very positive.
It's difficult to
And you guys had the conversation about spoilers. Yeah. Mm. My thing is always like, all right, for movies, you get like 2 weeks.
Okay. Now, that includes opening weekend and the second weekend.
I like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Movies, 2 weeks. TV shows, people sometimes wait and binge. Just always check up. And if you tweet stuff, don't tweet actual things that happen in the show. You can say, I totally disagree. Oh my God, Game of Thrones.
Twitter is made for that.
The reason Twitter exists is real time dialogue and conversation.
So if you're LaShawn McCoy and you see Avengers,
but that's a movie. That's different.
That's different than a TV show.
That's a jerk move also.
Yeah.
I'm not saying go be a jerk, but I'm also saying like I don't have to be elusive on a website that tells me it was born for real-time reaction.
Look, if I haven't seen Game of Thrones or whatever show I'm into at that point and it's the next day, I just stay off Twitter. It's really not an issue.
Right? Like a big boy.
Well said, Kevin.
Thank you. Thank you, little one.
Wait, were you talking to me?
Yeah. I was, and your voice went really high for a second. I'm not sure why.
But yeah, so our marriage almost ended yesterday.
I mean, the problem with that, though, is that your wife could easily kill you.
Oh, yeah. She is a fourth
dog. If the dog doesn't
belt
get to you first.
Yeah.
She's a black belt.
Yeah.
And he's not.
And
he has a tiny belt.
Yeah. And then.
And your dog, Diego, respects that woman more than anyone in the world.
She has a black belt, and then she goes out and she gets a pit bull. And you're
love it.
Are you turning into are you turning into a superhero? What's happening here?
She sounds like a Fast and Furious character.
She really is.
Every day that Brad walks out of his house, it's a miracle that he survived another night in that house.
And now,
but not because of her, because of him.
Yeah, and now we're trying to add to her gang because we're working on having children. We want to have children.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, the next question everyone always asks is, is it going to be like you, Brad, or like her? And
how tall would you guess?
And I say the baby's going to be like me. Rich. So, but to be honest, it's a 25% chance dwarf. It's a 75% chance tall.
I didn't know that.
So I have no preference. I don't care. But I do, there is a part of me that really does want that dwarf kid because my wife is Chinese. It would be an Asian dwarf baby. An Asian.
That's cute.
Right?
Yeah, that's real cute.
Wow. An Asian dwarf baby. The kid's not even conceived yet. It's already gotten into 12 colleges.
We would have to worship him.
Right?
Or her.
Yeah.
It's like you're starting a new species.
It's not a kid. That's currency. Yeah. That's madness. Angelina Jolie is like, I don't have one of those. Right. It's madness. I kind of want
you're
an Asian dwarf
so much
baby.
Money off that kid's Instagram account. Are you kidding me?
It's like baby Chunko.
Amazing.
Yeah. All right, Brad.
What's Chunko?
Oh, all the hair? You've never seen baby
Chunko?
Little
Asian baby with huge hair?
What's Chunko?
Oh, my God. Are you
get
in for
ready.
A treat?
Oh, boy.
Oh, we'll show you.
All right,
we'll
have to go.
Okay.
We do have to go, Brad. You know how it goes on the radio. We're out of time. Great, great shows this weekend at the Ice House Comedy Club. Friday night, two shows. Saturday night, two shows. IceHouseComedy.com. Ian Pasadena. Tickets are just $25, 21 and up. Trust us when we tell you that Brad Williams is as good a comedy show as you're going to see out there. He is fantastic. You'll have a wonderful
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:38.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that was a spicy one.
Thank you. Thank you, Muggs. Allie is here with our final look at what's happening on a Tuesday morning.
Yes, well.
Uh-oh, why is Jim Carrey trending? Hold on.
Oh, no,
bad,
it's
right?
No, it's the Sonic the Hedgehog movie.
Okay, good.
He plays the Dr. Octobok or whatever. Not
Robotnik.
Robotnik, thank you.
I was worried he did something
wrong. I play Tails. A lot of people don't know that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, in the movie, I'm the voice of Tails. I'm like, stop. I'm on my way.
It's a deep cut right there.
What about Knuckles?
Oh, no, I'm not Knuckles. Knuckles is Dom DeLuise.
Really?
Yeah.
Because I think he's dead.
No, his corpse
really
is the voice. Yeah, they Weekend at Bernie's'd him. Weekend at Bernie's too. They played Jamaican reggae and he got
is
back.
Dom DeLuise dead?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. He is dead. Jensen was, strangely, very excited to see the Sonic the Hedgehog trailer first thing this morning.
Yeah. Too excited, some would say.
Some would say.
It didn't sound like you were that impressed with it.
The whole world is not impressed with it. The oddest part about the trailer is, and I mean, listen, I love Ben Schwartz, who is the voice of Sonic, not as a joke. But the oddest part is that the song in the trailer is Coolio's Gangster's Paradise, and I ask, why so soon?
Mm. That is an odd choice.
Choice?
Yeah. Anyway, it didn't look that good.
All right. Okay.
Shouts to Ben Schwartz, though.
Hey, remember on Friday when Felipe Esparza was in doing a little show that we call April Foolishness?
Sure.
He was on the bill, mm-hmm. killed it.
Yep.
And then remember Monday when he was here, mm-hmm. just yesterday,
yeah.
doing an interview?
Yes. Mexicans!
In case you haven't had enough Felipe Esparza in your life, he is going to be doing a show October 4th at the Microsoft Theater. K-Rock presale is on Thursday, 10 a.m. till 10 p.m. Just use the code KROCKFELIPE. Or you can give a call right now at 1-800-520-1067. And if you're caller 20, one winner is going to get a pair of tickets to Felipe Esparza at the Microsoft Theater on October 4th. Again, presale, K-Rock listeners, Thursday. K-Rock Felipe is the presale code. Or if you want to be like everyone, you can get tickets on Friday when they go on sale at AXS.com at 10 a.m. Remember, we were talking about Endgame and how one guy in Hong Kong decided after he saw it that he would walk out and just spoil it for everyone in line.
While people are waiting to see the movie.
Waiting to see the movie.
Yes.
Bad idea.
He got the crap beaten out of him. I don't know what's happening in China, but one excited Marvel fan in China cried so hard while watching Avengers Endgame. She started hyperventilating, had to be rushed to the hospital. She was bawling uncontrollably. What? They had to give her oxygen to stabilize her breathing.
Let her go. Let her go.
You think that's just Darwinism?
If a movie causes that, come on now.
It would have been
She's
so
on
easy.
Her way anyway.
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
She's not going to be able to handle normal life.
She's 21. I don't think she was ready to go.
Well, I mean, the way you're talking about her, it sounds like it.
All right.
It would have been helpful to all of us.
Okay.
Let her roll.
Wow. Jensen wants her dead. Okay.
Hail Satan.
Guys, try and follow along. Fred Savage is set to host an after show for a fake series on Fox.
Huh?
Savage will host a new half-hour hybrid comedy talk show premiering this summer called What Just Happened with Fred Savage. It explores the fandom surrounding the not-real sci-fi thriller series The Flare.
which also has a pre-show.
Which is, here's the description for the
Flair.
Trying
to follow this.
This is the Flair. This is the fake show.
Okay.
It's based on a fictional author, T.J. Whitforce, a sci-fi book series, The Moon is the Sun at Night, which has been a favorite of Fred Savage's since childhood. The book revolves around a solar event and its effects on Earth, specifically the small blue-collar town of Milford, Illinois, and slowly unfolds into a post-apocalyptic battle for human survival. The real after show that Fred Savage is hosting about this fake show that he's loved his entire life will feature multiple segments, including authentic sit-down celebrity interviews, set visits to the Flair, the fake show, and interviews with the cast of Flair, again, the fake show, and discussions with fans of Flair, the fake show.
But also, I think it has a pre-show that is also fake that they reference in the post-show.
Good God.
Anyway, there's funny people writing it. Sean O'Connor, very funny
Absolutely.
Writer.
Absolutely.
There's some good people.
Can you repeat the part of the nope. stuff where you said all about the things?
No, I just want you to check it out on June 30th on Fox. It is What Just Happened with Fred Savage. It's a really funny premise if you think about it. Right?
I mean, you got to really dial in. Got to commit.
It sounds is like there a sickle or a penis in this story? It's a great
it's
question.
A great question.
So far, I don't believe so. You guys, let's say you're a woman that's feeling a bit vulnerable.
Go
to a Jason Statham Facebook fan page, and all of a sudden, Jason Statham, well, he reaches out to you. He sends you a message.
That's nice.
That's what this woman thought. That's nice of him, just talking to his fans. And then Jason Statham said, hey, why don't you download WhatsApp? Let's chat on that. And then Jason Statham starts saying he's falling in love with you. Although he's, you know, in real life married to supermodel Rosie Huntington-Whiteley. He then comes up with a very sad story about some financial difficulties that he's going through.
This has all kinds of red flags on it now.
Even though he's worth about $70 million. At any point do you think, well, I'm not talking to Jason Statham, right? Well, this poor woman in England didn't think any of those things, and she handed over hundreds of thousands of dollars.
She's so sad and lonely.
No. To this con man, who basically just wooed her and made her think all sorts of things. And she said it was a very vulnerable time in her life because her mom had died and her fiancé had died.
Let her do it.
Wow.
This is the same as the woman who couldn't breathe after seeing a movie. Let her lose her money.
Wow.
I don't agree with that.
Wow.
I do. Just let her lose it.
Now, I want her to have been able to break out of her despair for a moment of clarity and go, this probably isn't legit. I'm not going to send my money.
Which she definitely thought a lot of times.
She had to.
And then she still did it.
Yeah.
Genius.
I don't know. It's all very sad. I mean, I've gotten DMs from, you know, comics and whatnot.
Sure.
They were actually the comics.
You think?
Yeah.
Okay.
But they weren't coming after your money. They were coming after your purse.
Which I also call my money. You know what I'm saying? Right? Call it my coin slot.
Yeah. Coming after your handbag.
Yeah. What else you call it, Bean? I'm just saying, ladies and gentlemen, let's just be a little bit smarter because celebrities are not reaching out, except for Screech. You mentioned maybe Screech reach out to you for money.
That could be legit.
That
for money,
could
yes.
be legit, but huge Hollywood stars are not going to ask you for money. Let's just say that.
Dave is weighing in. Was he coming after your flesh wallet? What is it possible that you're looking for your flesh wallet?
Wow.
Happy we let Dave chime in there.
Yikes. You guys, Pete Davidson, feeling extra generous en route to Baltimore for a stand-up show. He stopped by, attended a screening of Avengers Endgame, and decided that he would pick up McDonald's to feed not only his friends, but the sold-out audience and movie theater staff.
That's a good little package deal right there. I like that.
$400 at McDonald's. Because let's be honest, if you're at that movie theater and all of a sudden you smell fries, I am so mad.
Agreed.
Because I want fries. Pete Davidson bought everyone food. That's kind of nice.
I like it.
It's very generous.
All right. Bean, Kate Middleton and Prince William celebrating 8 years of marriage. And, of course, they shared the shots on Instagram for their wedding day. But do you know what the Queen did to make the anniversary extra special?
I don't, but she's right here. We can ask her.
Queen?
I don't know the story.
You named Kate Middleton Dame Grand Cross of the Royal Victorian Order, which is the highest possible rank. Why did you do that?
I figured it would confuse her and she would stop talking.
I think his impression's getting better.
I think it is. Let's tune in to Bean, though. Why don't you play the part of Prince William? What did you think when Kate got named as a Dame Grand Cross of the Royal Victorian Order?
I think my grandmother was a cheap bastard. He didn't cost her a penny.
He's like a leprechaun.
It's like a free gift.
Get me. Go through
aren't
puberty?
Gifts always
get
free?
Gold.
Well, no, I mean, it didn't. I think what he's saying, what the man on the street is saying, is that it didn't cost the queen anything to hand over a title.
I got
you. It's a freebie.
As the role of Prince William, what would you say would be a more appropriate gift for your wife, Kate Middleton?
Get me out of this country. I can't take it anymore.
Get her out of this country.
Wait,
oh, they're teaming
up. This is William and Kate. This isn't Harry.
Look.
They're all one.
You guys, I need you to play the roles correctly if we're going to do this.
Look.
Is our set improv bad? We'll bring back Ackerman.
Why do you want Kate out of the country?
Oh. I don't know, because the Queen is giving weird gifts. That's why.
Okay.
Because the Queen can't spring.
Don't question the Queen and the man on the street in England.
Queen can't put down 10 pounds for a proper gift.
Queen going to take this? I mean,
I'm not listening.
Oh, wow. He's tuned out. She's tuned out.
Right.
All right, guys. This,
I heard about a guy who got a tattoo.
What is it? You took three runs at it.
That was crazy. That was awful.
You're still terrible.
Oh, this is fun, huh?
That was awful.
I don't know what my next job is, but it's not improv.
Oh, please.
Or accent.
Don't sell yourself short.
This is a really riveting conversation.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. All right, some birthdays for you guys. Johnny Galecki, Kirsten Dunst, Kunal Nayar, Gal Gadot, and Travis Scott. And that's what's happening.
Thank you, Ellie. 5 p.m. commercial free hour. Tomorrow morning on all new Kevin and Bean Show, we've got animal stories on the show. We have comedian Bob Saget in studio and English muffins. What's